In a Don and Mike Show contest, how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Your mom takes it up the bung.
Don't you, you're my favorite.
Eat my bone. Dickweed. Bite my left nipple, asswipe.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, hello, everybody. Let's welcome all the kids in. Here they are.
No, not get them out of here.
No.
I don't like these people. They come to introduce their heroes.
It's a story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy.
Yeah.
Himself. Yes. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
There he is.
They're ready for the weekend. And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. the Widow Wilder and all the ships at sea. Here they are, ready to do their thing. It's Don Geronimo and Michael.
Oh, I forgot about the DOT thing. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Friday.
Let's do our thing.
March 29th. Phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C., right here on WJFK. It's 202-432-1067. And New York, WNEW 877-692-1027. I would be remiss if I did not introduce the man in the next room.
Hi.
The pride of Wichita, Kansas. There is Buzz Burbank.
Go Jayhawks. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
That's his whole big thing. Introduce me.
Right, yeah, go please. Jayhawks is right.
And you know, in the NCAA Final Four, you know, we had a monkey pick the games.
Have you been tracking the monkey's progress?
The monkey has Kansas as the national champion.
Uh-huh. So the monkey has at least gotten one team in the Final Four.
Yes.
Monkeys, no.
Yes, and the monkey, I'm sure, will be excited, as we will tomorrow when Kansas plays Maryland.
Right, yeah. I know, you know, a lot of people want to root for the monkey, but we've got a lot of people in this area that are going for the Terps.
I know.
Well, I'm torn.
Yeah, I am, too, because, you know, I like to see Maryland win.
So would I, but on the other hand, I think it would be fantastic if a monkey...
Can you imagine that?
If a monkey was to pick the national champion of the Final Four.
The password is national press coverage.
Gotta happen. So that's the update on the monkey.
Very good.
Most of his picks have been blown out by now, but yeah. The monkey does have Kansas winning the national championship.
That is truly amazing that our monkey, you know, even at this stage of the game, has gotten to that level. That's amazing.
Okay, on today's show, we're jam-packed. Let me just tell you first off that... we were supposed to have, as a mystery guest on the show today, Paula Poundstone.
Wow. Really?
This is no BS. Wow. Swear to God.
Was she on a comeback tour or something?
She's doing an appearance tonight in D.C. at the Warner Theater.
Wow. She's doing her stand-up? Is that what she's up to?
Yes. We were supposed to have Paula Poundstone as a guest.
Would have been great.
Paula Poundstone's representatives contacted.
Contracted a very serious disease before she was to come on the show.
They contacted us with something that we have not ever been faced with before, and that was an actual list of things that we could not ask her about.
Oh, we don't really do well with that.
No, in essence, what they requested was that we don't ask her about anything, that we just say, hey, yeah, you know, you're a damn funny comedian, and what kind of wacky hijinks do you have planned tonight?
I think she's making a mistake. I think really the best way to put that stuff behind you is to deal with it head on. That's always been our experience when somebody does that, especially since she's been cleared of all the worst stuff.
So that is the true part of this now.
Buzz.
That's the true part.
She's been cleared of all the worst stuff.
That's the truth, that Paula Poundstone was supposed to be our mystery guest today.
Right.
She has declined because we have declined to follow by the rules.
I understand. Yeah.
However,
I understand, Dave.
However, now that I've set that up for you, and that part is true, let me do a welcome back, a feature that we had done on the show rather regularly, the Don and Mike Newsmaker of the Week.
I always enjoy coming into the building on Fridays because I see both you and Rob scurrying would be the best word to describe it. You scurry from office to office planning this newsmaker feature, and I know that you're arranging to have one of these fine members of the media or showbiz on our show.
Well, Mike, let me say I am pleasantly surprised today to be joined by an in-studio guest who, as late as this morning, had refused to join us.
Ah, very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for pretty lady, funny lady, Miss Paula Poundstone.
Oh, hey, this is exciting. Hey, let's hurry this up, asswipe. I gotta see a doctor.
Well, Paula, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, my balls won't stop itching.
Well, then, go ahead and scratch them.
I will, but I'm afraid I'd break this cab. You don't want to deal with the smell, do you, Captain?
Oh, that's nasty.
No, I don't think so.
Now, Mr. Big Shot Disc Jockey, are we going to stick to the rules my publicist laid out for you?
Well, now, you know, I heard about this before the show, and I thought that this is now no longer an issue. I'm not even aware of your representation.
Well, I got them. There are two old Jews and a Gentile from Chicago. Christ, they're the worst agents I've ever had, but they're the only ones who will touch me.
Sounds familiar.
Their names are Donald and Elliot Ifrit, and some crusty old bastard named Joe Coyne.
Oh, I've heard of those agents. God, they suck ass.
You're damn right they suck. I might as well be represented by some of my drunk foster kids.
Listen, I thought you didn't want to talk about your drinking, your foster kids, or your thick, luxurious chest hair.
Screw the rules. Well, am I going to lose credibility?
All right, then. Here we go. This is what we wanted with Paula Poundstone. First
thick,
question.
Luxurious chest hair, huh?
Yes, thick, luxurious chest hair. First question, Paula Poundstone, where'd you get the suit?
Oh, my suit? Well, I got it from Today's Man. when I don't shave, I resemble George Zimmer.
All right, let's get to it.
That's a tough warehouse, guys.
Can I get something to drink?
hold on a second. It's
Men's Warehouse. But it's okay that you mentioned it. You're combining the two sponsors.
Timmy, let's change that one to Men's Warehouse. First question.
Funny.
First question, Mr. Poundstone. Where'd you get the suit?
Well, I got it from Today's Man.
No,
Men's Warehouse. Men's Warehouse,
okay.
Timmy.
Yes, I mix it too. Men's Warehouse to this man. You know, they're all the same. Yeah, I think it's Men's Warehouse.
And when you don't shave?
And when I don't shave, I resemble Judge Zimmer.
All right, let's
still works, boys.
All right, let's get down to it, Paula.
All right. Well, can I get something to drink, though? Because I'm powerful thirsty, you know? Who's a shimmy got a screw to get something cold to drink around this dump?
But how thoughtless of me. Of course, what would you like? Water, diet soda, maybe a grape soda?
How about a bottle of Boone's Farm, Aswite? You know I love my foster kids, but I sell 10 of them to a Catholic priest right now for a good, stiff drink.
Well, now, I don't think that's appropriate.
Screw you. I got needs. I wasn't even going to come in here today, except I need my Vicodin. Where the hell is Buzz?
he's in the next room. Paula, I want to tell you something, though. You should not mix booze and pills.
Oh, nonsense, Captain. Booze and pills go together. Like drinking and driving with your kids in the car. You know,
oh,
yeah.
My.
Have you ever gotten drunk and high and gone to Baskin Robbins with 15 Asian toddlers?
No, I haven't.
Well, you're missing out on some good times, Captain.
I let me just say that I think you are irresponsible.
Well, I think you are a dickhead.
Our guest is Paula Poundstone, who had previously refused to appear on the show, but is here. Paula, you're appearing tonight at the Warner Theater in D.C.
Right.
What can your fans expect besides disappointment?
Well, I'm opening the show by demonstrating the proper way to put on a condom.
Barry, now that's very interesting. Will you be using a banana?
No, dumbass. I'm using my own hog.
Hog.
All right, then what?
Well, then I eat a necklace made out of Percocet and drink Jameson's gold whiskey right out of the bottle.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Then I scratch my balls until I get paid.
Do you make a decent living doing stand-up?
Well, they pay me in pharmaceuticals.
All right, so let's say I'm at the show tonight. What usually follows the ball scratching?
I have no friggin' idea, but I'm told the show's quite good.
Let me ask you something else here that was a taboo topic. How are your foster kids doing?
Well, check for yourself, that's why. They're in the parking lot in the trunk of my muscle car.
How many kids, Paula Poundstone, are in your trunk right now?
Well, I don't know, 10, 20. Guys, I'm a comedian, not an accountant.
How are ticket sales for tonight's show going?
Well, useless Joe Coyne tells me I've sold 7 tickets.
7 tickets? That's not very good.
Well, neither is your show.
Let me ask this, Paula. Well, what type of person would buy tickets to see you in concert?
Oh, well, let me see. I have a list right here. I got a list of ticket sales. Let's see. I got Tony Saragusa, Carl Ripken Jr., O.J. Simpson, Dick Cheney, Britney Spears, Rush Limbaugh. Sounds like a packed house.
You know, not only are all the people who bought tickets to your show famous, they all have something else in common. Did you know that, Mr. Poundstone?
Yeah, you bet your ass. They, like me, got the full-blown AIDS.
What a coincidence.
Not really. The bar at the Warner Theater serves the best AIDS cocktail I've ever tasted.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for coming by. I'm sure you realize it was a mistake to cancel the appearance now that you've been here on the show.
Are you kidding? Being on this show was the worst thing I've ever done. It's worse than the time I spent in jail and court combined. Your show sucks. And you're not as handsome as Maria Shriver. Good day to you.
Hey, Paula.
I said good day. Good day.
I said good day.
Paula Poundstone, ladies and gentlemen.
Paula Poundstone.
She was very upset.
There you go, Paula Poundstone.
The woman was not happy at all.
Here's your Vicodin.
She originally was not going to be on the show and had a change of heart at the last moment.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she could join us as the newsmaker of the week.
That list seems to be continuing to grow, that full-blown AIDS list.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot Britney Spears was on the list,
That's right.
too.
That's right.
Amazing. Boy, I tell you.
All right.
Thank goodness for the bar at the Warner Theater.
Boys got me with the Men's Warehouse.
There you go.
Today's mine.
Today's
mine. Hey, Captain.
Okay, so that's the newsmaker of the week.
Wow.
Let me see. Oh, I do have an update about my gang.
Oh, yes.
When I was a kid.
Oh, God. You know, there's a little talk I just have to tell you after the show. When I'm talking to people, that was the talk of the evening about the show. Rarely does the show follow me into my personal life, but a lot of people were talking very curiously about, that. And I said, yeah, I was fascinated by it also.
I got some explaining to do. I got first off, the guy in question.
Uh-huh.
Called me last night.
Oh, dear.
He was mad. I did not mention his name.
No, and, I did hear from my bandmates. We were practicing last night, and that subject came up, and they were all giving you the props for that, where you were able to tell the story without ratting out the particular guy.
He was mad that I held up a sign that indicated that you knew, and that Buzz knew, and that Rob knew, and he is afraid that when my gang reunites here, and we're planning on doing it, I think, 2 weeks from Monday.
Right.
We're going to have all the guys that I went to I went to middle school, junior high, and high school with these kids, with these guys. They're all grown up men like me now. He's afraid that when they all show up here at the studio.
Right.
That he will somehow be singled out as the DOT guy.
What's he, I can't ask because but I have to. Is he successful? Happily married?
Yes.
Family man?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he is. He is.
So then maybe what he told you was true.
He has four kids.
I didn't need that information.
And he works in the technology corridor.
Oh, really?
He works for a giant, one of those. If you go out by Dulles Airport and you see all of those .com companies,
right?
He works at one of the big ones out there.
Okay, that's just a quick shot down the road. I'll shoot on out there sometime.
Your friends are our friends, no problem.
So he was plenty pissed,
he must have a good head on his shoulders then.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I've got to reset this for you before I talk about, because I promised that I would talk about the fire. You know, I think it was a while ago that I told you how this gang that I used to hang out with in school, and again, we weren't a gang. We were just a bunch of losers.
Right.
We stole a bicycle from a bike store.
You were bad actors is what you were. You were trouble is what you were.
We stole a bicycle, expensive bike from a bike store.
You're bad kids, and bad seeds.
And then we realized that none of us could take the bike home, that our parents would kill us. So what we did was we formed an elaborate ruse to put the bike back in the window of the store after we had already stolen it.
Which I thought was a touching story because, yeah. I mean, it has kind of a happy ending. It's like you guys see the light when, in fact, you really didn't see the light. You just realized you couldn't take the bikes home.
Although I was reminded last night when I was speaking to the DOT guy that...
Do our thing.
That, one time over in Aspen Hill, I told you... when I was a kid, we used to just shoplift like crazy. I mean, it was just something that we were just...
You're lucky you didn't all end up in juvie.
Yeah. Addicted to. That one time, we stole baseball gloves from a sporting goods store on Aspen Hill Road.
Baseball gloves?
Baseball gloves.
Not easy to shoplift.
No, well, we put them under our shirts, and we walked out of the store, and we got out of the store, and the guy said, hey, you kids come back.
You bad kids.
And we ended up having to... When I talked to my friend last night, he reminded me of this. There is a cemetery, or at least there used to be a cemetery.
You dig up any bodies?
Across, if you're on Georgia Avenue in Rockville, Maryland, in the Aspen Hill Shopping Center, there used to be a burger chef that I worked at.
Right.
There was a sporting goods store there. We walked in, we stole these baseball gloves. The guy says, hey, you kids, we go tearing across this four-lane highway, and we went to a cemetery, and we spent 4 hours hiding behind someone's big,
tombstone
call it?
Tombstone or crypt?
Yeah, the tombstones.
A family plot stone, a big one. One
yeah,
of the oversized
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sat there for like 3 hours hiding.
Did you take the gloves home?
No, we didn't.
He didn't return those to the store because he was looking for you.
Yeah, because he would have known us. He would have known us.
That's difficult stuff.
Mm.
But when your friend called last night, I mean, back to it, is there some sort of clarification or some sort of explanation that you want to offer or what?
First, let me just say, on behalf of my friend from middle school, junior school, and high school, he is royally pissed at me.
Wow.
He's royally pissed, even though I didn't give out his name.
And he is royally pissed because?
Because I told the secret.
Oh, not because you told a fib.
No, I told a 100% truthful story.
Did he offer any new information or any...
He offered the same explanation he offered when we were in eighth grade.
And I would tell him that will not fly.
Let me just say, okay, so I'm with a bunch of kids. We are in seventh grade. We're going to Earl B. Wood Junior High School in Rockville, Maryland, right off Norbeck Road. And there were seven of us. I won't go through all the names right now.
Better not.
I've gone through the nicknames before, but I'm not going to go through the nicknames now.
Right.
But there were seven of us, and we went everywhere together, and we did everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. We were like that. You know, kids like that.
Yeah, sure.
So we noticed, and I know this was in seventh grade, because we only went to this junior high for 2 years, for seventh grade and eighth grade. In seventh grade... Every once in a while, we'd be leaving school together, the little pack that we were in, and one of the guys would break off and say hello to another boy, and they would say, we would hear them say, D-O-T, and sometimes they would say, dot.
Yeah.
Or they would say, dot tonight.
Right.
Hey, is it a dot night?
A dot night.
Now, this went on through seventh grade.
That meant a big night.
In eighth grade... One night when we were out, as a matter of fact, we mentioned Boone's Farm in the
in the newsmaker piece there.
Boone's Farm, you know, during the 70s was the... the drink of choice for young drinkers.
There was,
for kids.
There was a field. And as a matter of fact, this all will tie into the story I'm going to tell you about later.
If you build it, he will come.
There was a field. Now there's condos and apartments there, but at this time there was just a gigantic field with lots of weeds.
In your day, it was a field of dreams.
And what we did was we were over there, and someone had pilfered a bottle of this Boone's Farm wine, and each of us was taking a sip of it. And someone mentioned to this guy, you know, listen, what the hell is DOT? And the guy wouldn't tell us.
Right.
This guy, he wouldn't tell us. And then what we did was, we all started like, we kind of pushed him down on the ground. We started like, you know that thing that kids do, like are you punching the guy?
Yeah, you kind of give him noogies, right? And, that type of thing. Not violent.
No, but I mean punching him in the arm, punching him hard. Like, come on, tell us.
Right.
Tell us. And finally he said, it means do our thing. And again, now at this point, we don't know what he's talking about when he says do our thing. And
you're still on top of him, though, right? Most of you boys were on top of the other boy.
We were not on. Now, you're not going to turn this around on me.
What?
We were holding him down.
Mm-hmm.
We are holding his arms and his legs. We're holding him down.
Of course.
Okay? And he said, what is DOT? And he said, do our thing.
Just for your edification, I don't have to turn anything around here at all. I mean, I don't have to turn anything around.
As I told you, when we heard what it was, right. We all jumped up.
Yeah, but he remained in the gang.
You know what? Yeah. He was our friend.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It's loyalty. You weren't homophobic. Right.
He was our friend.
Right.
The guy says DOT means... do our thing.
How many of you went, hey, when he, no.
None of us did. Yeah. I mean, so.
Yeah, he's onto something.
Now, he's still on the ground, right? And we're a little drunk. And we're like, what the hell is DOT? We're eighth grade. And he says, do our thing. I said, what? I said, one of the guys, what the hell's that?
What?
And then he says that there's this kid, this boy, he did stuff with.
Stuff for gratification purposes.
Oral stuff.
Oh.
And as soon as he said
that there's anything wrong with that.
As soon as he said that, we jumped off this guy like, I mean, it was like cooties, unbelievable. It was like, whoa!
Right.
Whoa, I mean, now we're standing 10 feet away from the guy.
Did you ever wonder why he fessed up? Was he just afraid of getting
hurt? Because it was something that over 2 years, we had asked him repeatedly, and he had never told us, and we had this whole thing that there were no secrets.
Yeah, I would have thought that he would have made up some kind of lie.
And finally,
you know,
I don't know, maybe it's because we were like pounding on him a little
bit.
Yeah,
the pressure.
He told us, do our thing. And we said, what is that? And he said it was oral. And that it was, he would perform oral on the guy, and then the guy would perform oral on him. And they would do it at his house, or they would do it at the friend's house.
And he called you mad last night?
And at that point, the rationale was, when we jumped off this guy, we're like, geez.
Well, wait, I guess stop you here. Why are you telling the story again if he called you last night?
Because I'm setting this up.
Okay, very good.
Because maybe I told the story like at 2:45 yesterday.
Okay, all right.
It's possible that people didn't hear the story.
Is there something additional that you're going to add to this?
Yes, there is.
Because this is really confusing me.
Because we say to the guy, we say, what are you doing? And his response was, it's the only way I can get it.
Was he referring to it's the only way he can get that type of service?
Yes.
Oh.
So.
Well, I suppose if you look at it that logical way.
Oh, now.
But Jesus.
I relayed the story yesterday on the air. Say about DOT.
I think we were all enjoying the story.
Last night, get a call at home, and it's him. It's the Dot guy. And he says, how you doing? Glad you're not dead. I said, yeah, right. That was an internet hoax.
Right.
He said, hey, I was listening to the show today, and I just want to tell you something, that I don't think I'm going to be able to come down and be on... for the show in a couple of weeks,
right,
when you have all the kids that we grew up with together. And I said, why? And he said, because you told the thing about DOT. And I said, I didn't say it was you. He right. said...
No, you didn't. You still haven't.
He said, no, but you held up something to indicate to the guys that you work with who it was. And I said, these guys don't know you. They just know you by...
I wouldn't be able to pick the guy out of the line.
Exactly.
I would have no idea who he is.
And you don't even know the guy's real name. You only
no,
know,
I don't.
You only know his... We all had...
Nicknames.
Yeah.
Rob, do you have a pen?
I do.
What are you going to do? Do you think you know his real name, Mike?
I think I know his real last name.
Oh, now this is going to make him feel worse.
And we don't want that.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not it.
Hold on. Now I do remember it.
It's not it.
Is that it?
No, it's not.
Okay, I need something to write with you.
No, it's a stop it. No, just stop it. So he calls me up and he's pissed.
Yeah.
And he says, why would you tell that story on the air? And I said, oh hell, I've told awful stories about myself on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, but you had never told a story like that on the air about yourself. And I said, what are you doing, Mike?
I was fighting with Rob over a pen.
Okay,
Rob gets very possessive of his pens.
Don't let him have a pen, because Mike keeps writing down what he thinks the guy's name is.
I have a pen every day on this show. No, pen, never mind.
Don't let him have a pen. I'm trying to get to the point of why the guy was
pissed. I know.
And you're distracting me by writing down these.
I'm sorry. I thought I knew his last name.
His name, but you're not correct. So the guy says to me, well, how, you know, you've told stories about yourself,
mm-hmm,
but you never mentioned a story like that. And at that point, I said to him, well, you know what? Mike, stop it.
I'm sorry.
I said to him, I said, well, I never sucked another guy's pee. When I was in junior high school, in the real world, never.
And this was not a gay thing.
No,
but it is a gay thing.
Now,
I mean, he said it. It wasn't that they were gay, but it is a gay thing. If you're deriving that kind of
satisfaction, here is the explanation.
Or he's bi.
Because I said to him,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I said to him, and after he went through the exercise of telling me that he's married and he has four kids and all the blah 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 and all this other stuff, and he's not gay, I said, that's fine. He said, well, you were giving the implication on the air yesterday that this was somehow a gay act. And I said, you are one seventh grader or eighth grader who is doing this to another kid, and the kid is doing it back to you. That, I'm sorry, that's gay. I got nothing against gays. And the guy started screaming at me, and he said, I'm not gay. And then he said, it was the only way I could get it. And I said, okay, you said that in seventh grade.
Pretty amazing.
Now, we're both in our early 40s, and then he said to me last night, he said that he would have just received it from the guy.
But the guy insisted.
But the guy said, if I do it to you, you have to do it to me. And
He's still a little conflicted, it sounds.
Furthermore, he insists that the guy who did it to him is not gay either. And he went on to say that he thinks lots of guys have had gay experiences, like in high school. And I said,
I wouldn't know from firsthand experience, but I would wonder if we would be able to,
I said,
you know, find out if there are similar experiences out there.
And then I said to him, I thought you said it's not, you're not gay.
How long, did he indicate to you how long this continued?
2 years. 2 years until he met a girl who would do it to him.
Oh.
And then when he met a girl who would do it to him, then
he stopped.
Then he broke up.
He broke up with his boyfriend.
He broke up with the other guy.
With his male sex partner.
So he was... To say that this guy last night was pissed at me,
yeah,
is...
Why, though?
Is beyond...
I can't imagine why. But you didn't mention any names.
No, but
and that's the way it's got to stay.
Apparently,
forever.
It was one of these things that I was never ever supposed to mention on the air. Also, the guy, he's such a tight ass. He's not, no pun intended, because his sex act had nothing to do with his ass. He was mad that I told the story about how he stole the bike.
Oh, really?
On the air. He's one of these. I mean, I guess he's one of these types. He said, and he said, "Are you going to talk about the fire?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to talk about the fire, and I'm as much to blame,
right,
the fire as anybody is." So I'm.
No one was hurt or killed in this fire, were they?
No, nobody was hurt or killed in anything.
Just
a
tremendous loss of property.
It was.
I haven't heard the fire story.
No, and I'm going to get to that in a second.
Good.
So he's mad.
It's a lifelong friend of yours, and you've told the story now again. Is the relationship now completely disintegrated?
He said to me last night, and I'm sure that this was just a bluff. I mean, because I've not mentioned the guy's name. He said, if you continue, you're going to be hearing from my legal representation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, bring it on, because I've never said who you are. And as far as
you're telling a story about somebody you went to school with. It could be anybody.
I went to school with lots of guys. Right. I said, but... And he said his concern is that anybody who went to school at that time with us, since I've mentioned that it's Earl B. Wood Junior High,
right,
that anyone who knew about DOT or heard about DOT would now know that he was the guy who did the DOT. But
was it more than two people? I mean, were there other people that did the DOT?
According to him, there were only two.
Wow.
Or he was involved with one guy.
You know, I don't know the psychology of sexual activity, but it would seem to me, in order to get gratification from that, you have to have tendencies towards bisexuality. I mean, I think he seems to be in some sort of denial by saying it wasn't gay.
He said
the fact that you are getting it from a man is, it's a form of homosexuality.
He said, as soon as I got to Magruder, which was high school, which was ninth grade. He said, as soon as I got to Magruder, I met, and he named a girl. He said, and she did it for me. And then after that, I never once again.
No, it's like somebody who might be in a heterosexual relationship for years and years and years, and then they decide to experiment, and they go, I mean, I think it goes in different directions.
But the guy's incredibly pissed, and he said, I don't think that I should come down and be part of this reunion show when you get all the friends together who we went to school with. And I said, well, if you don't come down and show up, it will be obvious,
maybe not
to the people listening, but at least to all of the guys, you know.
All the guys that are coming down, they will know?
Yeah, well, and then he said, well, it doesn't matter since they all know anyway.
Right, right.
They all know. He said, I'm afraid that someone who has listened to the show will realize, because of the guy's nickname,
right,
that if he's not here, he's the one. So I said, well, just come down.
Yeah.
Just come down and be on the show. We're going to have this reunion show. He said, but if I come down, you're going to start asking me about DOT on the air.
Did you tell him you wouldn't?
Yes, but he didn't believe me.
And by looking at your face, I don't believe you either.
No, I mean...
you'd honor that if he came down. You wouldn't, rat him out.
No.
Can we say somebody in this room is DOT?
I think that would be... Knowing the other guys that I was in school with... They'd laugh their asses off.
Right.
I mean, and I think he's worried about that as well. I think that maybe is his grandest fear, that he would come down here and I would say...
I would think of being an adult, a person that's staring at middle age, and then you're thinking about childhood cruelty, it would be a very scary situation.
Someone in this room has DOT'd.
Pretty amazing.
DOT'd.
How do you weigh in on the whole sexually conflicted issue, as far as where he says, hey, it wasn't a gay thing?
I didn't even argue with him, because
he sounds like he's conflicted about that.
Well, he made a point of telling me over and over again that as soon as he got to Magruder High School, he got it from a girl, and he never got it, and he never did it with a guy.
I suppose you could chalk it up to experimentation.
And then he made a point of saying that he's married, and I don't know how many goddamn times he told me he has four kids.
I went through high school without that particular, not totally, maybe like once. I mean, I did that before I did the
intercourse before you had
oil. Oh, yeah. I mean, it just wasn't, when I was going to school, I mean, maybe for some guys, but,
So that's the update on this guy. I mean, it was a long, drawn-out, 20-minute diatribe last night, and I finally said, listen, what can I do about this? And he said, please just shut up about it. And I said, listen, I know the guys I work with.
Right.
I said, I know the audience of the show.
Sure.
I know that now, for whatever reason, for a brief period of time, DOT is going to be a part of the show.
It has to be.
It's going to be.
It has to be.
And he said...
I think anybody coming back from a weekend, you know, if it was a good weekend, someone would say DOT.
And he said, if you do that, you will be breaking, you know, the bond, you know, that we were for, we lifelong friends. And again, I'm saying, I'm not saying your name. I said,
that's crucial, and that I know you'd never do that.
And I said to him, I said, when you come down, you want to be on the show with the rest of the gang, anything you would like to say about me from my past, you could say it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
No holds barred. And then he paused for a second, and I said, of course, I never sucked another kid's D.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Sensitive moment.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, which was your way of, like, making sure he behaves himself.
Yeah, like, you know, yeah, come on down. What do you want to say? I stole a baseball glove? Well,
right.
I'll tell that story myself. What do you want to say? That one time we climbed up the ladder and we changed the movie marquee so it read FU.
That's brilliant.
You know, and we got in trouble with the cops for that. Yes, that's fine. You know, go ahead. You know, the bicycle story, I told the bicycle story or the fire story, I'm going to tell the fire story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, it sounds like he's, well, I can't blame him. I cannot blame him. But with that said, you know, I mean, it's a childhood story. I mean, it's when you were kids. And it's,
I know.
You know, it's in the past now, and he's, you know, it's not that there's anything wrong with that lifestyle, but I mean, you know, it's just, I'd be pissed too. I'd be so pissed
sure,
at you.
Of course.
I would be beyond, I would be uber pissed at you.
But listen.
You know, you understand that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Well, first off.
If the pants were on the other ass.
First off, I cannot imagine myself doing that, okay?
Right.
But let's say that I can't even say this. Let's say I'd done some heinous sexual act in high school, and a friend of mine had a radio show and mentioned it but didn't mention my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I said to my friend last night, you know,
I would be filled with a great deal of anxiety.
As far as anybody knows, it could be any of the seven guys that we hung out with.
But you understand that it doesn't matter to him that you haven't mentioned his name. Because you just put yourself in his position. Put yourself in his squirming, horrible position right now. I mean, I would never do that. And it's just strange, you know. I think we're all too.
But I'm not allowed.
We're all too uptight.
I'm not allowed to tell stories about stuff that happened to me when I was with the people I hung out with, especially when I don't mention their names.
I did not say that. What I said was I can completely understand, as you can too, why the guy is so pissed off.
But as I said,
you think what he thinks? Hey, yeah, go ahead, tell that story.
But as I said to him last night, you know. Say what you want about me. I never sucked another guy's D when I was in seventh grade. So, you know, bring it on.
Right.
Bring it on. You know what I'm not mentioning?
But let me ask you, because you're skirting the point here. Do you understand why the guy is mad? I know it's a hard, difficult question for you to answer, but do you understand why the guy is pissed?
I understood for the first 5 minutes of the phone call.
Right.
When I tried to calmly say to him, listen, I didn't mention your name.
Right.
Nobody knows who I'm talking about.
Sure.
It's totally anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the guys in the gang who know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the guys who work on the radio show know, and they don't even know your real name. They just know your nickname.
Right.
And he said, that's too many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, except for the guys on the radio show.
Right.
Rob and Mike and Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
No one else knew besides the seven guys in our gang and, of course, your lover. And he said...
You didn't say it like that,
And I said, and your friend. And he said...
Lover.
He said, well, at this point, he said, how many people listen to your show? And I said, last time I checked, the Arbitron's about 6 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, 6 million people. He said, well, now 6 million people know. I said, yes, 6 million people know, but 6 million people don't know it's you.
No.
Right.
And nor would anybody in this room know. I mean, honest to God, I think it's important to point out that here on the show, you know, the people that know are people that wouldn't be able to pick this guy out of a lineup.
Right. And at that point, you're saying to me, why, you know, do I understand it? I understood his frustration until I walked him through all of that, and he just got madder at me.
Mm.
And he got mad at me, and then I, and then that's when I started to say stuff to him like, well, you know, you're welcome to come on the show and say anything about me from when I was a kid, or anything about me in my adult life.
But did he ever take the non-aggressive approach, and did he ever just take the, hey, buddy, please,
he's still,
which you respond to because you're a good guy in that regard.
And he's still a standing by, it was the only way I could get it. That is still his argument. It was the only way I could get it.
So he never dealt with the real honesty of the situation, which would be calling you up and saying, hey, listen,
just knock it
this
off.
Really embarrasses the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. Instead, he is like
he was very
defending his behavior.
He was very aggressive.
Right.
He was ordering me. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask me. He ordered me.
Right.
And he never brought up the say, listen, as a buddy, please, you know.
I mean, I seriously have never known you to not respond positively if somebody was like really, you know, appealing to you, hey, please,
right,
don't do that. But if a guy comes at you, he would come at me. If somebody came at me and said, hey, don't you do that, and pointing their finger, especially when you haven't mentioned the name.
He's very aggressive.
Right.
Very, very aggressive.
Well, he sounds like he's aggressive and a little misguided.
Yeah. And it didn't end well.
Yeah, sorry.
And the conversation did not end well.
But I will tell you, as an outsider, as a person looking in on this, it will fascinate you.
So, I said to him, well, listen, I'm probably going to do what I got to do on the show tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know DOT will be mentioned on the show. I won't mention your name.
If the DOT story is a 10, where's the fire story on that?
The fire's a 3. Listen, right. The DOT, and I'd say the bike.
And you just, the DOT just popped into your head yesterday.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Your head.
But I mean, you all of a sudden went, you know what I just remembered? And it was like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, right.
Which the best stories always are when you remember them like that.
Yeah, because I was thinking about the guys, you know, that we've been in contact with each other via email trying to get them all together to come down. And incidentally, I should tell you that I received emails from, there were 7 guys in our gang, myself included. I received emails from 4 of the guys last night saying that they had heard the DOT thing, and they almost drove off the road.
Right.
They also had forgotten about it, but when they were reminded about it, they laughed their asses off.
And it should be said to this guy, if he's listening or whatever, his privacy will always be protected.
Yeah. Yes.
Completely. I mean, it doesn't make it any less funny.
It is funny.
It does. It's funny.
It's funny. The
line that makes me laugh is when he's defending himself. Yeah. Instead of, in today's society, things have changed so much, you know, with views on sexuality where people would say, well, yeah, I'm gay or I'm bisexual. In those days, they would say, it's the only way I can get it.
And
that is the funniest damn thing. It's still what he said. And he's still talking like he's in eighth grade.
It's the only way I could get it.
So weird.
I said, okay.
Very strange.
And the conversation ended with him saying, don't talk about this. Mm. And I said, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And he said, I'm going to email the other guys and tell them not to come and be on the show. And I said, well, go ahead, but I'm telling you, I've already received emails from 4 of them, and 4 of them remembered the DOT thing,
mm-hmm.
and they think it's funny, and they're going to still come down and be on the show. And I did make a point of saying to the guy, when you come down, we won't identify you as the DOT guy.
No, and he wouldn't be identified if he didn't come down.
But
I mean, that's not going to, you know, nobody's going to do that to the guy.
Yeah, but then he like said, F you, and I said, well, S a D.
Oh, really?
And it was click.
That didn't end well. Wow.
One high school friend gone.
Wow, it's too bad.
So the other guys will be here 2 weeks from Monday.
Fascinating.
So we're going to have the big reunion. Big junior high reunion. All my friends coming down. They'll rat me out about what a cowardly punk I was during junior high and high school. And
for the record,
they as well.
None of the other guys in the gang, or yourself included, none of you guys like jade each other or anything like that.
No.
I mean, it wasn't like sit in a circle or something.
No.
Like that.
As a matter of fact, the rest of us,
right.
I was the first, but the rest of us had achieved pleasures with girls.
God.
Very early on.
Just completing the full delinquent circle.
Yes.
In 7th grade.
13.
I was 13.
That's pretty young.
I've told you this before. It was the
damn young.
The dentist's daughter.
Yeah.
Down on the
scares me as the father of two daughters.
Corner of Norbeck Road and Bel Air Drive. I used to cut the grass.
The R gang down is the R gang crew.
One day,
with their little hats.
One day, you know, they called me in, and you know, she says, "Wow, would you like something to drink?" It's like a porno movie. Mm-hmm.
She was older.
She was a junior in high school.
65. Right.
And I was I don't know, it was a freshman maybe. I was eighth grade maybe.
Right.
And yeah, got it done. Banged it out. What do you got, Rob? What is it?
Thank you for being a friend.
Oh man.
Oh, come on.
Come on, I'm not doing anything bad. Christ, I'm talking about the guy's D.O.T. All right, what do you got on the other one?
What's, for your gang.
For the gang?
There they all walking down the street. See what kind of trouble they can get into.
All right, enough of that. Listen, we got a break. We got a full show today.
Yeah, gotta move along so we can DOT.
We got a break. I will tell you about the fire. And we have a package for Rob.
Oh, good.
That arrived. We got a gift for Rob.
Oh no.
Share that with you in a second. Now start the show. Be the 100th caller, okay? Phone number 877-365-3636. So listen, stay tuned because
it will fascinate you.
Today's show will fascinate you. Be right back with caller 100.
Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
It speaks to the genitalia. The Don and Mike Show.
Sure do. Right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I am caller 100.
Right, hey. Hi, what's your name?
Matt.
Who is this?
Matt.
Matt, where are you from?
Fort Worth, Virginia.
All right, Matt, you got tickets to see Poison with our friend Brett Michaels. Poison, Cinderella, Winger, and Faster Pussycat.
All right.
It's the Joe Artinger Tour.
Let's rock.
At Nissan Pavilion, July 12th. Tickets on sale now. Go to Ticketmaster.com or NissanPavilion.com. Enjoy, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good time. Brett Michaels from Poison coming on the show, I think, next week.
Very good.
To talk about... Oops.
Does he still have the big hair? That's the question I have.
Yes, they do.
Still have the big hair. Yeah. Big 80s hair.
He and I think the other guy is CeCe. They're the guys who fight all the time.
Right.
But they've worked out their differences.
Oh, good. Good. Maybe we can talk to them about disease.
And Poison is back. I mentioned it's the Joe Artinger Tour, because that really is the music of Joe Artinger's life.
Yes, it is.
Big hair bands from the 80s.
Right on.
And this story came courtesy of Radio and Records.
Okay.
And I just wanted to pass this along.
Mm-hmm.
You could take the station name out. And you could take the screener's name out,
mm-hmm.
and the story, I am afraid, could be an omen.
Really? You could actually pop in WJFK and Joe Artinger into this story, and you'd have the perfect story.
Let me just say that the headline reads, "Call screener accused of molesting teen."
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That's
me.
That's inappropriate.
That is inappropriate.
WPFV West Palm Beach reports that John Paul Luft, who works for sister station WBMX, was arrested for allegedly coaxing a 13-year-old girl to leave her home.
Oh, dear.
Taking her to a park and having relations with her. Detectives who say that the man later took the girl to his house, where he allegedly continued to engage in sex with her, are trying to determine whether Luft might have used his job as a call screener to lure other young girls.
Oh, my.
Oh,
well, let that be a warning to everybody.
Post that, Robbie.
Right next to his computer.
Get a post.
He's on his finest behavior.
You've been in radio for some time. Have you ever known anyone to use request lines to troll for women?
Absolutely.
I've never seen it.
Well, let me just say.
Women, Rob.
You know, again,
that's the operative word,
again,
women.
Back in the day, back when I was a disc jockey. Back in the day.
The E.D.
And nobody got laid off the request lines more than I did.
you'd go through, but you went for like 45-year-old midgets.
I had my share.
Yeah.
I got it on with a midget in Detroit.
There you go. And some older women, too, right? I mean,
yes.
What was the oldest woman that you ever met over the telephone?
Probably when I worked in Appleton.
Who was the oldest, I should say?
When I worked in Appleton, Wisconsin, I was 16, and I think she was probably 43 or 44.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Met her at a hotel.
Looking for love.
This is Robinson.
Looking for love.
Dee, 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 dee,
and
dee, dee,
one
dee,
I dee, think dee. I told you this once when I was working in Rockford, Illinois, mm-hmm. at this station WROK. One night I picked up a girl on the request line, and she said, well, why don't you come on over to my place after...
This is the little person?
Oh, no, no, no. I was working the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift.
Right.
At about 1 o'clock in the morning, the phones are dead, and you know, I'm just... picking him up and trying to get a phone bit going, and this woman right. starts coming on to me. She says, why don't you come to my apartment? I live in Rockford, and as it turns out, it was a woman who was my English teacher.
Oh. Wow. How did she react when she saw you?
We had sex.
So positively.
Because I had enough credits to graduate high school
right.
early, so I was out of school at 16.
Right.
And as it turns out, my English teacher was calling the request line, getting picked up.
Pretty amazing.
Getting picked up. Oh, the good old days.
Who wouldn't want to pick this man up right here? Filled with hormones.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, this is Big Don Geronimo. Your chance to win a new 128 Frisbee in Summer Store is coming up in moments. Hang on for the touchstone and your chance to win tonight.
In between.
English teachers all over.
Well. It is 7-11 with Big Don on Thursday night. 82 degrees right now. Cloudy overnight, low 62. Tomorrow, cloudy and hot, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Wear something flimsy, girls. It is quarter past 7.
I mean, I would play these records. And I would go to the request lines during every single record, just looking for women.
It was the Big Don Geronimo that got them.
Yeah, right. That's when I was Big Don.
Right.
And I was 16.
Rhythm here it is, and the theme from Swatch. This Big Don goes tonight up for grabs this hour in Summer Store. A blue 128 Frisbee.
Blue 128.
Always cracks me up.
Play in the hit.
That's right.
Geronimo.
Yes, I am. We're sending the very sincere and professional congratulations out tonight to Kim Hall of Appleton. Kim just got herself a blue 128 Frisbee in Summer Store.
In the back of the throat.
Yeah. I probably tried to pick this girl up, the girl that won the Frisbee.
Just filled with nostalgia today.
Absolutely.
I like you're having a nostalgia. You're having this is Flashback Friday.
I just went. I went out to the cancer corner.
Right.
To have a puff on a cigar. Right. And Colette said, "Do you know a guy named?" And I won't mention the guy's name.
Right.
One of the guys in the gang.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "He's on the phone."
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So I picked the phone, and it was a member of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Who said he's...
What did he say? I want you in my mouth.
He said, I'm dying.
Right.
Listen to this DOT stuff.
Sure.
He said, I haven't thought about the DOT stuff
right.
in like 25 or 30 years.
It's amazing. Nice. And it comes back and it's as fresh as yesterday.
He said, it's the funniest thing. And he reminded me of something else we did that was worse than the fire.
Oh, no.
Something else we did when we were kids.
Going to tell that one?
Yeah. Hello.
Wow.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Tom, what are you doing riding on your buddies?
Hey, you don't know who they are.
Yeah, I know,
it doesn't count unless you use a name.
Yeah, but that's not right. I mean, this is a private thing between two people.
No, it's not. It's not private.
It wasn't private when he told you guys.
when we beat it out of him.
Yeah,
and no names. That's the important part. No names. It means we can laugh our asses off.
You don't know who I'm talking about.
That's true, but I mean, I don't know, man. I feel bad for the guy. Even though he was sucking D, I still feel bad for the guy.
Right. No, I think you feel bad for the guy a little bit, too, probably, right? It's just the way he handled you. It was too aggressive.
Yeah,
sticking right. his finger in your chest. And you don't pull that when you're coming from that position.
You know, he calls me up last night, and right away from the get-go, it was, you know, hey, stop it.
Yeah.
Hey, but it wasn't like, hey, please stop it.
Yeah, hey, man, come on, give me a break.
You know, respect.
You know, man to man right. kind of stuff.
No, the guy was a dick to me. No pun intended. So listen, here's the first story I was going to tell you about the gang.
Right.
And this pales in comparison to the second story. And again, please, don't, kids, I was saying, kids listen to the show. Don't go by what I've done. You know, the fact that I got...
No, I think this is a classic example of bad parenting.
That I got into radio so very young and...
You were all misguided youths and you weren't getting real leadership from your households.
I was out of the house at 16.
Don, isn't this a lesson for parents?
Yes, this would be.
There you go.
Because this is when I was still living at home. This is a... Although at the time I think that these things happened, I was probably... 13 or 14, mm-hmm. I was working in radio. I was working in part-time at Winx in Rockville, but still going to junior high school.
Wow.
The fire story. The same field that we pounded the truth out of the friend, the DOT story.
I think we could call it your staging area.
It used to be, if you're familiar with Earl B. Wood Junior High in Rockville, there's Norbeck Road.
Are they still in existence, incidentally? Are they still churning out great minds?
Yes, they are.
Are they still producing the presidents of tomorrow?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
There's a shopping center across the street. That's the shopping center, incidentally, that I got kicked out of. Remember the guy, I stole some gum, and the guy told me I could never enter the store again.
This is when you had to come back with your dad.
Yeah, I had to bring my dad back because I was afraid. My mom would send me over. We lived across the street from the shopping center. She'd say, go over to People's. It used to be a People's drug for it with CVS. She'd say,
parents that are listening right now, if you can avoid it at all, try to move away from the shopping center.
She would say, go over to People's and pick me up something, and I would be petrified because I had been banned from going into the People's Drug because the guy caught me stealing gum. Right.
That convenience you may experience dropping off your dry cleaning could result in a poisoned mind.
Yeah. So, anyway, across the street from the shopping center and next to the high school, the junior high, was this big field. And one night we were out there shooting off some bottle rockets.
There's nothing that gives me more pleasure than when you go back to way back to Earl B. Wood. I mean, it's just so funny because I picture you guys. It's like everything that you guys could do that was like bad, you did that.
But we weren't bad kids.
You weren't bad kids, but it was. I know the type of kids. I lived in a similar neighborhood. It's just funny that I can relate to this, and I know everybody my age.
We went everywhere on our bicycles.
You know, shooting up. Meanwhile, we were shooting on bottle rockets that we stole. You know.
No, we bought the bottle rockets.
Yeah, of course you bought those. That's right.
We bought the bottle rockets. We rode into D.C. because you couldn't buy fireworks in Maryland.
Right.
So we rode our bikes into D.C. 4th of July time, bought some bottle rockets, came back late one night on a Friday night,
right.
We're lighting off these bottle rockets. They're going up, and man, boom, boom, fantastic. Well, one of them comes down, and it was very dry, the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
And
tinderbox?
This field starts to catch on fire.
Oh, no. I shouldn't laugh at this. I should not laugh at this.
Now, there is nothing near this field. I mean, the school is 2 miles away.
Good.
It is a barren field.
But it's dry.
And I mean...
It's so very dry.
It catches on fire.
Big time.
And, well, at first it's one of the things we start stomping it out, right? We're like, oh, God, we started the fire.
Don't tell me it was windy, too.
No, it wasn't windy.
Okay.
We start stomping it out. But as we start stomping it out...
And then Yellowstone was gone.
One of the guys, because we were all wearing those faggy bell-bottoms...
Right, right.
One of the guy's pants caught on fire.
Oh, really?
So we all stopped stomping out the fire.
Started stomping on him.
To put his jeans out.
And then he shouted out, I gave somebody oral.
And then the next thing you know, it was not a major fire.
Good.
But there was an area perhaps as big as this studio.
Were you able to contain it yourselves?
No. What we did was...
Oh, no.
We ran away.
You ran away.
We ran away.
Leaving the flames behind.
complete rant.
I know it's a 3 on a scale of 10, but it's funny picturing you guys.
We got on our bikes.
Tried desperately to put out the fire.
We ran away, and we went into the Safeway.
Right.
Because we figured we would just hide in the Safeway.
Lay low. Lay low. Hide behind the cemetery.
And a few minutes later, we heard the sirens.
Did you go like say an arsonist would go out to look at his work?
Well, no. What we did was we rode up on our bikes.
That's what they say about artists,
that's
right?
True.
Don't they like they light the fire and then they hang around to watch the
well,
fire
blow
out?
We didn't mean to light the fire.
Right, right. But I know you did.
We didn't mean to. Oh, f you, Rob.
What did Rob say?
Okay. We didn't mean to light the fire.
Fire.
The other thing that we did that I'm going to tell you about, it was bad, and we meant to do it, and it was really bad. So what we did was we came out of the Safeway, and we said, oh my God, look at the fire trucks are there, because the Safeway's in the shopping center right next to the drugstore, and
right.
The fields across the way. So we got on our bikes, and we just like rode over there, because there was a group of people looking around, right. And
what happened?
Everybody said it was, and that's what we said. Hey, right. What's going on? And they said, some kids are playing with fireworks over here. And
right.
And there was a giant...
Did any, you know, you dummies have, like, your bottle rockets sticking out of your back pocket?
Oh, no. Ixnay. Right.
A little more savvy than that.
Ixnay on that. No.
Did you look at any... Now, usually in a situation, if I was in that as an adult, I'd look and... Did any parents or older people look at you like, maybe, hey, they were on to you guys?
No, because there was such a group of people.
Okay.
There, because there were so many people, because it was right across the street from where I lived and where the other guys lived, in a big residential type area.
Did they manage to extinguish the red hot tongues of flame?
They put it out right away, and the next day we all got back and we walked around and we're like, wow, because there's just this big black, gigantic black spot in the middle of,
like what you'd see off the Jersey Turnpike when they have those those wildfires
up off there. The field. So that's the fire story. Okay. And incidentally, again, you want to talk about good parenting,
right?
When I got home that night, my mom said to me, wow, did you see that fire down the street? And I said, yeah. And she said, boy, that's awful. And I said, yes, it is. And she said, good night.
Yeah. Yeah, she couldn't have known.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, it had been just a month or two earlier that the cops had been...
You were an accomplished spinmeister even at that age.
Called over when we had rearranged the letters on the marquee at the theater.
Now that to me is stand up and applaud stuff. I mean, the fire was an accident, but that prank... Because I told you about the one down in Rhode Island that I saw one time where there was a movie years and years ago, I mean a long time ago, that was in a drive-in, and it was about an octopus, and it was called Tentacles, and somebody got up and rearranged some of the letters. It didn't spell it properly, but they changed it to Testicles. And that was a big laugh for all of us. That's why I admire the marquee change.
I don't know what movies we're playing, but we were actually able to spell out F-U-C...
Ah, right.
Spell out the F word.
I'm laughing out loud.
And we actually climbed up this gigantic...
Right.
Marquee. And we were able to do it. And the only reason we got caught is that we were standing there admiring our handiwork when a cop drove up.
Oh, no.
And,
And you know, they're designed to be able to be seen for a long time.
Yeah, we're just standing there looking at it like, wow, funny. Hey, that's funny.
That's funny.
We wrote the F word.
All right, boys. So, get in the back of the car, you and the rest of the Argan crowd.
As I was just reminded by my friend, and this will be the last bit of reminiscing until they come on the show in a couple of weeks.
Until the authorities arrive.
The worst thing that we ever did was, and all of this happened in the same area. Again, there's an, and I know to
same
this,
area and the same era.
Again, I know to this day, if you know the area I'm talking about, Norbeck Road in Rockville, where it intersects with the road that Earl B. Wood Jr. High is on, there's an Exxon gas station there. There's the Safeway. There's the CVS, which used to be the People's Drug, and there's a SunTrust Bank that used to be Citizens Bank of Maryland. Well, right there at that intersection, there are stoplights, because there's a four-lane road, and then there's an access road where the houses are, and I lived on the access road that leads into the subdivision. One of the guys, I can't take credit for having thought this one up, but I participated. One of the guys figured out that if you went to the little box and you unscrewed these four screws, which very easily came off, we could actually sit Indian style down by the bottom of the street, by the, you know, the walk, don't walk thing, and we could press the buttons, and we could make the light change
on
our own.
Now, I have a very important question here.
Yeah.
You couldn't make two lights green at the same time. Tell
me
you couldn't.
Yes, you could.
Oh,
yes, you could.
Oh, my God.
We did not.
Good.
We did not. I swear to God we didn't.
Right.
No. I swear to God we didn't.
That's,
I swear to God we didn't. But we would hit the red pretty fast.
You could actually sync it so the red would,
No. It had a button inside. As soon as you figure out which switch, like there's a switch here.
You'd be able to cycle the light.
You flip a switch. And it would go from green, there'd be no yellow. You'd make it go right to red.
Oh. Did anybody ever observe that there were these juvenile delinquents sitting Indian style with like electronics in their hands?
No. And there were no electronics. It was just we'd reach into the box.
So you're like pressing up on the pole.
Yeah, well, we're sitting down. As we're sitting on the ground, the little box was just above us. So you would just reach, put your hand in. Now what we would do is, we would wait, because now we realize the consequences of this. Like, you put all the lights on green.
Right.
You know, you get cars running into each
other.
Pretty
good cars going by at a pretty good clip.
45-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Wow. Enough to cause a fatality.
So what we would do is we would wait until there was just one car.
Could you keep it on red?
You could. Okay, I'm just going for comedy. You're a step ahead of me.
Okay, I'm just going for the comedy potential of this.
The first thing we would do is we would wait just for one person.
Right.
One car to come barreling down the road with no one else the other way. And when he would get like two feet within 20 yards of the light, we would hit the button and make it go red immediately. Just to watch the guy go,
Did you ever have the occurrence where there was a line of traffic and the light would be like red for a long time and then you'd make it go green and then red right away?
Yes.
You know, if you're not putting anyone in danger, I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
And we realized that by putting all of the lights on red or on green that we would cause major problems.
Thank God.
But we would put all of the lights on red. And what you would have people that would just sit there, and we would just wait until the first person would ease into the intersection.
Right.
And as soon as they would ease into the intersection, we'd hit the button, we'd make the light green. And we'd let all the traffic go through. Then we would wait, and we'd sit there, and we would hit the red light again and just make people sit and wait. And it became a game to see how long someone would sit.
Man.
And not inch through this intersection while the light was red.
Was there a boys' club anywhere near you guys?
No. I mean, this
community
was
center, any kind of little league program or anything like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Man, oh man.
That's it.
Pretty exciting. Well, you want me to tell the stories of my youth, like the time I pulled the puppies out of the burning building? Or save the woman who was dying, or any of that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
No, I mean, and
pretty intense stuff.
I'm sure there's more, and the guys are coming in. Maybe not the DOT guy, but the rest of the guys are coming in 2 weeks from Monday.
Well, these are fond childhood memories, and nobody got hurt, and I think it's interesting.
So write it down on your calendar.
Pretty interesting stuff.
You're coming in.
What are those kids doing down by the traffic light?
Nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed because you were just sitting there with your bikes on. Probably thought that you were burning ants with a magnifying glass.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You down with DOT?
DOT.
DOT didn't mean D on tongue?
Oh, wow.
No. Now, listen, this was an original, I'm talking 1972. These kids, it was there, do our thing.
The 70s.
Well,
it was Don's 70s show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, your buddy works on the information corridor, technology corridor, right?
And now, what's this guy doing?
He works for one of those .com companies.
Yes.
.com. DOT.
.com. All right.
I thought that was one of our, we get all our super sleuths that try to go crazy.
Yeah, you never figure. I mean, there's thousands of people that work on the internet corridor. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, did Liberace ever say if he swallowed or not?
don't know.
I guess you never will either.
Never asked.
Man, oh man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
I got a story for you guys. That DOT story was hilarious. It reminded me of something me and my buddy did back at Richard Montgomery High School about 25 years ago. We were hanging out, and, you know, we muddled along the fat kid from school. He always had money. And
no, you can't say the S word, so you would, you'd have a fat kid from school who you'd bring along.
Yeah, because he had money. You know how it is. And, you know, we go across that street with that old liquor store that's been there like 30 years across 355. And we get like a case of Stroh's. We go back to where the baseball fields are, Richard Montgomery. And we get all drunked up. We get this little fat kid to get undressed. And we play this game called Here Chicky Chicky. You ever play Here Chicky Chicky?
What the hell are you talking
about,
sir?
Never heard of that.
What the hell is this horrible occurrence?
Tell us more.
Was the fat kid drunk, too?
Yeah, he was buzzed up. That's the only way we got him to play Here Chicky Chicky.
What was Here Chicky Chicky?
Well, I would stand. He'd be on all fours, squealing like a pig. And I'd be in front of him, my buddy being back. And he'd kind of be trying to escape. But
or escape. I'd be
trying to crawl away. He would be behind.
What do you mean with your fangs?
And he'd be trapped.
Oh
God,
dear me.
Man, you're queer.
Sir, you got to go get some counseling or something like that.
You know what the kid's name was? Rod Spiewak.
Oh, okay.
Who saw that coming? But the weirdest thing is that this guy says, you know, get the fat kid, get some beer. You know the drill. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
that.
We all know.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Right.
The fat kid has money.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I was broke.
I know. I
Hello.
Understand, Chicky.
Not anymore.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah, but I went to Wood Junior High, and I want you to know that we sat in our Plymouth for hours on end at the intersection, I think it's Russet Road, isn't that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Russet Road, and now I know.
That's somebody who actually experienced the delay.
Now I know.
You can see the look of pride that Don has on his face right now.
Yeah, we used to do that all the time in the summer.
That is funny.
We just thought that was the longest light. We would go around that intersection. My mom's like, oh, we're not standing at that light.
Did you ever get, anybody ever get wind of it or catch you or anything like that?
No.
And you just put the plate back on?
I called my mom, and I was like, you've got to turn on the radio. Now I know why.
All right, thank you. Sorry about that.
Hey, yeah.
Sorry about that.
We would unscrew the plate,
right?
Have some fun. We get bored with it. Then we just screw it back on.
It's nice. Did you have one of these kids who was like a techno geek or something? That said, that has to be pretty complicated.
One day, a guy was fixing it.
Right.
A guy was fixing the light, and one of the kids in the group saw the guy just unscrew these four bolts, with a regular pair of pliers.
Right.
And it was very simple. It was like four toggle switches.
Right.
You could hit a toggle switch to go to flashing.
So it couldn't be any easier.
Right. It was like on, off, red, green, stop, go.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't be easier.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we got a break. We have the break, Robbie. Oh, I know we got a break. We got tons of stuff coming up on today's show. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know what? I get up this morning and I'm driving to work and I'm listening to the radio and the announcer says,
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like a really lousy phone sex service, doesn't it?
Never forget. Never. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, listen. Next week on the show, I didn't have an April Fool's Day show planned. But as it turns out, the person who was going to be on the April Fool's Day show can't be on the April Fool's Day show.
Oh, no. Paula Poundstone?
No, really. We'll go. Our friend George Michael was going to come in and do that thing where he plays records for a while.
Right.
But he's going to be at the Final Four.
Yes.
Because the Maryland Terrapins are there and he works here in D.C. So I'm working on something else for Monday.
Final Four. Final resting place.
For the April Fool's Day show.
I'm kidding, of course.
Next week on the show, we have, I think, three separate mystery guests.
Whee!
Good.
Also next week, Bret Michaels from Poison. Next week, this, as my dad used to say, this is not a threat, it's a promise. The all-caller show.
Yay. We're going to finally do that.
This may be the biggest train wreck we've ever tried.
We'll be standing by. We'll be standing by like firemen that, you know, are waiting for the... We just see the smoldering embers.
But I'm thinking we do a show where it's just you guys.
That'd be great.
I mean, we're here. It's
right.
Not, it's like, we're not taking the day off. We're here.
We're queer.
And it's just you guys on the phone.
Maybe talking to each other.
Yeah, maybe get someone to lead a segment.
Mm-hmm.
Someone to say, I'll take another call now.
Yeah, depending on... it's going to be interesting to orchestrate it, and it's going to really be, I think, really, for that to work effectively, we can have no comments.
No.
We just will play the phones... The way, you know, well, you will, because you'll be sitting here with the buttons.
Pressing the buttons, mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows? It could be the worst show ever. It could be the greatest show ever. Mm-hmm. I know that we had a similar challenge once when we did the backwards show, which ended up being one of the best shows we've ever done.
It was fascinating.
So we're going to try this next week one day. It's going to be the all-caller show.
All right.
Also, very soon, which city loves us the most? The city versus city phone booth Olympics. That's making a return here on the Don and Mike show.
Rob's doing the Sacramento dance.
I'm doing the Sacramento dance. And the last thing I wanted to mention before we get to the Friday favorite was we didn't have time here in the first couple of breaks, but Christ, I'd love to just do this very quickly, but I don't want to ruin the bit. I'm going to write it down for the last break today, that I want to call the program director from radio station KFH in Wichita.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we've called a PD and yelled at him.
It's true.
This is an AM station in Wichita that we've been on for about 7 years, KFH, and it's a crappy AM station, but the listeners of Wichita have supported us with number one ratings.
Yes, they have.
For the whole 7 years that we've been on. So what they've done is they've got another station, they own another station that was sucking, and they're simulcasting now. So finally, KFH... Our station in Wichita is also on FM.
Yeah, and we're delighted. Anytime we can get an FM stick, it's fantastic.
However, they are still running this show tape delay.
Yes, they are.
They are still running us in the afternoon.
We want FM, and we want live.
And being as with a time difference, we start at 11 o'clock East Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
They could pick the show up at 10 o'clock Perfect. Local time, run the whole show live, and what I'm going to propose to this dumbass program director is run our show live on the FM,
mm-hmm.
and if you want to tape delay it on the AM, go ahead. But for God's sakes, put us on. You finally got an FM talk station.
Right.
Right. Put us on live so the good people of Wichita can communicate with us.
Absolutely. The Wichitans.
Yeah.
Yes. Buzzes people.
That's right.
We've missed that because it's been great being back on live in Baltimore this mm-hmm. week. So, anyway... That's something to handle later in the show. Now let's get to a Friday favorite.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
And,
it's time for Don and Mike to play the budget jeopardy.
A real newsmaker recently made headlines when he decided to, and incidentally, I wouldn't have done this, stay at CBS. Instead of going to the ABC, it's David Letterman. Actually,
hey.
it's not Dave, it's...
Hello, Don.
It's David Letterman's mom, Dorothy.
Dorothy Letterman here. How are you, Donald?
Now, I thought...
It's great to have you here.
No.
In New York City, when I'm in New York, I listen to you when I'm going to go on my son David show.
Now, I thought...
oh, yes.
I thought Dave was coming on the show today.
I've arranged to have David call us. David should be on the telephone, shall we see?
All right, go ahead and pick up one of those lines.
Wow.
Let me see which one. Okay, that means I do this.
See which line he's on.
Okay, this this should be Dave. Dave.
Mom, are you on with Don? Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Don.
Dave, it's Don and Mike.
How are you? It's Dave Letterman.
How come you sent your mommy here?
Yeah, she's the one that makes all the decisions. She's the one that booked Andy Dick on the show tonight, too. Oh, man. I'll tell you right now, I'm loopy. I'm loopy on the sugar. You got my mom there?
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Mrs. Letterman?
Hi, David.
It's good to hear you, Mom. How are you? You know, it's been a while since I had a chance to chat.
It's been a while for me too, David. David, I think you made the right decision staying at CBS.
Well, I'll tell you, Mom, I know that you made sure that I pulled all the right strings there. And actually, Donna, are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm fascinated by this relationship with your mommy.
Sorry, my microphone wasn't turned on. David actually doesn't make any of his business decisions without consulting me. Do you understand? He basically makes all of his business decisions because I tell him to. I told him to stay at CBS.
And why did you tell him to stay at CBS? Well, Dave? Dave?
Sorry about that. Okay. I'll tell you right now. You see, Mom made my decision. Yeah. She said I'd look like a bad guy if I booted Koppel.
But listen,
if I kicked Koppel out of there, you see.
I know you don't want to hurt your mommy's feelings. Yeah. But did you want to go to ABC?
I did. I got tired of those suits. You know those pesky suits over at CBS. You know Les Moonves. You know just driving me nuts with his pretty boy tan and all his bad attitudes. I'll tell you right now, I don't care for the guy. But Mom told me, I said, Mom, what do you want me to do? And she said, Dave, you got to stay at CBS. Yeah, you got to stay at CBS. It's the right thing to do. And go into that fellow Moonves' office and kiss a little ass.
Did your mom negotiate the contract?
Mom's made all my major decisions. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned before, I wasn't kidding. Mom actually makes the decisions for the show. Well, she actually picks the guests.
Put her back on it.
Hold on just a second. Mrs. Letterman?
Yes, Don.
So you actually...
Call me Dorothy, please.
So, Dorothy, you book the guests.
I'm the guest booker. I make the final decisions. I fired Bill Wendell, his announcer, and brought in the redhead, Alan Coulter, because Alan and I had an affair. Alan actually services me. And David likes him, too, so it's actually worked out well for all of us.
Does Dave know that you're having sex with Alan Coulter?
Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, he has no idea.
Well, don't you think he's hearing this now on the phone?
Oh, man! Mom's banging Alan Coulter?
David, don't speak like that.
Wow! Oh, man, I'm losing weight just thinking about that. Wow, I can't believe Mom's banging my announcer. That flame redhead Alan Coulter. Jeez Louise. Mom, how could you do this to me?
I'm attracted to him, David. I find him attractive.
Now, do you?
He's a good man. He treats me well, and he knows how to make love to me.
I've noticed.
Oh, man. Wow, this is a bombshell. I'll tell you right now, this is bigger than anything that's ever been on the show. You know, I know you've got your little radio show down there, but you got a national exclusive here. Can I make it any more clear to you? You really do. Oh, my goodness.
David, he's hung like a quarter horse.
Oh, man. Wow, this is driving me loopy.
Dave, does your mom? Your mom? She books the show.
Yeah.
She bangs your announcer.
Yeah, she bangs the announcer. Yeah.
Does she? I've noticed the queer way that you've been dressing.
Yeah, I wear basically the white socks with the regular loafers.
Yeah. Now, is that your mom's decision?
Kind of queer, don't you think?
Yeah, it's your mom's decision.
Yeah.
Why?
She said she wants me not to get that pesky toenail fungus. So she says, don't wear the dark colored socks. Just wear the white socks and your feet will always, you won't sweat and you won't get into the foot disease. Mom's big into foot hygiene. That's what she does there. But I'll tell you, right now I'm just getting over this bombshell that she's doing the nasty with Alan Coulter.
Let me ask you about your son, Dave. Yeah. Dorothy.
Yes.
Dave never mentions a personal life on the show.
You know, can I tell you something, Don?
Yeah, Dorothy.
You remind me of Alan Coulter.
Oh, no. Oh.
You do indeed.
Hey. Really?
I couldn't help hearing your show in the green room when you were talking about Orville. It turned me on.
Would you like to,
I would.
D.O.T.?
After the show, if that's possible. Would you to me first? Please?
No.
Would you like to dine on Dorothy Letterman?
I'm afraid.
Are you sure? You know, it's a great feast. It's a delicious feast. No one's ever turned away. Everyone's always come back to the Dorothy restaurant.
All you can eat?
Oh, yes. As much as you want. Take your time. There's plenty for everyone.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, man. mom. She's a sex maniac.
Are you hearing
this? She's a total. She's gone off the deep end. Hello. Even hearing that concept is just driving me. Oh my goodness! I'll tell you right now. You know, I have to tell you, for years I've opposed pie dieting. I'm not. That's not what I'm about. But to hear my mom coming on to you, and especially with that sordid talk, we don't even put that on the show. I can't believe you. Is this being taped or are you broadcasting this?
Oh no, this is a tape show, Dave. We'll be able.
Gonna be a tiny radio.
No, we can edit this out for you.
You gonna chop it up?
Yeah, we can chop it
up.
You
do that for me?
Yeah.
I get your guest spot on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, don't you have to ask your mom?
But I can arrange it if you just get
ask
on the show. All you have to do is stand behind Paul.
Ask her.
I don't have to ask her. All you have to do is stand behind Paul and hold his trumpet.
So you can do that. You can.
You're David Sanborn.
You have the power to get me on the show.
Yeah, I have the power to get
well,
you.
Now, Dorothy,
not on the guest spot.
Dorothy says I can't.
I don't like that. I don't like him going behind my back. David?
Yes, Mom?
Don't book guests without my permission.
All right, Mother. Mother. Oh, man.
Dave?
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, fire away.
You ever see that movie Basic Instinct?
Yeah, Basic Instinct. Oh, yeah.
Your mom's doing it right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
And can
dear
I tell you,
Lord.
Can I tell you something else?
Oh, my God. Mom, put some panties on.
And Dave, get this.
My God.
She got the JonBenet look.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm drumming right now to beat the band. I don't even want to hear about that. Oh, my God.
God, Dorothy.
Mom, put some clothes on, please.
Dorothy.
Don.
Yes, Dorothy.
Do you like my look?
Oh.
It's dining time. Please, come to me. Perhaps after the show's over. We could talk about the Letterman show with David. And
do you think, listen, how crazy would it drive Dave if I was to perform that act on you right now?
Right now, he would go absolutely mental. But I wouldn't mind. Any time is a good time for me.
All right, well,
would you like me to come over there? Bring your spoon. Maybe it wouldn't be appropriate. I don't want to push David too far.
How about this? How about I just reach under the console?
Sure.
And
like now?
You tell me.
Oh.
Now can you?
No.
Is it out now?
Yes, I feel you.
Okay, now. Now.
Oh, no.
Now, what I want you to do.
Jesus Christ, Mom! No, for the love of God, make it stop. You're trying to hurt me.
Now, hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dave.
How's it feel?
Guess how many fingers?
I'm guessing the whole fist. Jeez, you're an evil man. Get your hands off my mom.
Hey, she's loving it.
I am, David. I have needs. Please, don't interrupt us. The sound of your voice takes all the fun away. Don.
Dorothy.
Please, me. I think you could host your own show, too. Oh, fantastic.
Look at this, Dorothy.
Oh, two Sharpies.
Two giant magic markers.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, sir. Yes, go yes. Yes. Oh, goodbye. Something's lost.
Uh-huh.
We lost something.
Uh-oh. Oh, my magic markers are lost inside Mrs.
Yeah. Boring you as a fellow broadcaster. Yeah. Please stop putting things in mom.
Listen,
right, can you do that, please?
Your mom is asking for it.
I don't care what she's asking for. She's an elderly woman, and I this is.
Well, then, you know what, Dave?
Love of God, for the love of
Dave,
me, please stop it.
Stand up to her then, and tell her that it's your show.
God, I'm ready. I think I'm ready for another bypass.
It's your show.
Yeah.
You take control.
Yes, David.
Stop, please, for the love of God. Please, don't do this. Don't do it. You're embarrassing me, the Letterman family, and you're most importantly, Mom, you're embarrassing yourself. This is not right.
Oh, but it feels so good, David. And you know I'm the boss.
I know you are, Mom. All right, go ahead. There's nothing I can do. Don, are you there?
Yeah.
I have to ask you a personal favor.
Sure.
Be gentle.
I'm always gentle.
All right, I'll leave you two kids alone for a minute.
All right. It won't take long. You ready, Dorothy?
I'm ready. What's next?
Here we go. Here we go. Now.
Do you have a stapler? Please. That's wonderful, Dave.
There we go.
Very nice. Yes.
How about this?
What is that?
Well, I do have a stapler.
Is it glue?
I do have a stapler.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Please, sir.
Okay,
here we go.
And
cold. Very nice, David.
Now, do you want me to...
Do you ever actually...
I called you David. Oh, dear, that ruined the moment. Donald. May I call you by your full name, Donald?
Well, do you want me to stable you down there?
Well, yeah, the pleasure and the pain.
All right, here you go. Ann? Ann?
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, another one. On microphone, please. Let me pull the microphone down. Ooh. Ooh. I'm stapled.
All right, now wait, hold on. Two staplers at once.
Here we go.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Stop. Dorothy's done.
Oh.
Dorothy's finished.
There's the,
Dorothy is through, Donald.
There's the staplers.
You have pleasured me.
Dave, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I pleasured your mom with my hand with magic markers.
Yeah.
And with two staplers.
I'm not real happy right now with you. Is there a chance you could call me after the show? We got some issues to deal with, Tom. I've never heard my mother quite like this. You know, she drives my career. She makes all the major decisions, but man, I'm really distraught right now. I'm not sure I can go on the air with Andy Dick tonight.
As I tell you, your mom is one hot piece of ass.
I just think this whole thing is just so sordid, so incredibly distasteful. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to continue my career at CBS. As a matter of fact, I think I might be ready for Comedy Central after this. I'd like to go away and hide. Mom, how could you do this to me, Mom?
David, your mother has needs. That's what you have to understand.
Okay, Mom. I just find it difficult that you're sitting there with a disc jockey manipulating you and touching you in that way.
He makes me feel like a woman, David. You have to understand these things.
All right, Dorothy. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Don, be good to her. Be gentle, will you, please?
I was as gentle as I could be, Dave.
For the love of Pete.
Let me just say, it was my guess. I was not the I was not the first.
Man, I'm not going to just go out to, walk up to the CBS building and jump off the top. Right, right outside the Ensemble Theater. Just splat. It'll be Dave, just like one of my watermelons. Jesus, I tell you. Just be kind to her, will you? And you have to marry her now.
No, David, he doesn't. They never have to. They don't have to marry me.
But I would be your dad. Well, Dave, I'm already married anyway.
Men who give me pleasure don't have to put a ring on my finger. Did you tell him the final truth, Don?
No, you tell him.
David?
Yeah, Mom.
I'm pierced.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Mom, no. I'll tell you right now, this is really disturbing. I think the ticker's starting to go.
Okay, we've got to break. We're going to give you a chance to work this out with your mom during the break.
Call her Dorothy. Don't call her my mom. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to hear the word mom anymore. And it's the last trip for her to the Olympics, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey.
But that kind of behavior.
Don't talk that way to your mother.
Don't talk like that, David. I'm going to the Olympics. Because I make all the decisions.
877-365-3636. That's the number. I think we need self.
I may be ready in about a half an hour.
877-365-3636. The phone number. We need, I think, two contestants this week to play the Loba Jeopardy game.
D-O-T.
Oh. All right, Dorothy, you just sit back, honey.
Okay, I'll sit over here in the corner.
Just sit in the corner.
You two done?
Well, for about a half hour, I guess.
No, I'll tell you, this is unacceptable.
Hey, Dorothy.
I'll stay on the phone only because I'm a broadcast professional.
Okay, hey, Dorothy, how about during the break?
Yes.
How about you on me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, during the break.
You bet, Donald.
All right, during the break.
I will, I'm
ready. To completion?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. My mouth is like a pomegranate.
Wow.
Donald.
Oh, man. She's going to service you now?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We're going to get a BJ from your mom.
You don't need to give me the initials. I know what's going on back there. This is disturbing stuff right now.
Dave, hold on a second.
Oh, man, I'm going to throw some pencils in the ceiling.
hold on a second. And Dorothy, I guess...
Yes?
Why don't you and I step out of the room?
Will do, Donald.
Or do you mind, Rob, in front of you?
That's
not necessary.
Okay.
We'll step out of the room.
All right. We need two calls for Jeopardy now.
Please, God.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, people are always coming up to me on the street and saying, Don, how can you make money showing those repeats? Well, the answer is simple. Volume, volume, volume.
Where the comedy never completes. The Don and Mike Show.
But you did.
Wow.
How was that?
Let me just say,
was it the best you've ever had? Tell me it was the best you've ever had.
I'd rather tell your son.
All right. I'll put him on.
Let me just tell your son.
David.
Hey, Dave? Dave?
Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on. I got it. Dave?
Yeah. I heard. I heard.
Let me just say
I'll tell you right now, I'm pretty banged up.
Can you say something?
Yeah. How was it?
I gave your mom a facial. And
jeez.
I don't want to thank her.
Oh, man.
I wonder if we're taking out her teeth.
Man, oh, man.
Wow, is she good?
My. Well, you know, this is, it's official. We're never going to be friends. You know that can't happen anymore.
What, you and me?
It's just not going to happen now that you're, you know, you've given mom a facial. I'll tell you, I'm disturbed. I never thought this could happen. You know, she doesn't do this on my show. She stands in front of a camera and, you know, out at the Olympics, and there's no big deal.
And as a matter of fact, right now, her face is still covered with my lumpy love.
I don't want to take it off.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. It works for my skin to keep it young.
Well, let's play the game.
Thank you, Donald. No,
thank you, Dorothy.
It was so much.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mom sitting there covered in goo.
Thank you, Mrs. Letterman.
I gotta take a hot shower.
All right.
I'm going to turn it over to Mom for your little party.
All right, I'll come back.
She's the one you want to talk to anyway. It's, you know, with you spraying her and everything.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Donald.
Dorothy Letterman.
Dorothy Letterman here. Please call me Don.
Hey, Don. D-O-T.
D-O-T.
Let's.
I'm in town for the Poundstone Show.
Play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio, David, or Donald, is a real estate agent from Fairfax, Virginia. Let's say hi to Kirby Charrett.
Hold on, let me see. Hey, Kirby, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
And now entering the studio is a pet supply salesman. Well, I tell you, I had quite a pet just a moment ago. From Queens, New York, let's say hi to Danny Tabala.
Danny?
How you doing, fellas?
Hi, Danny. Thanks for listening.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy and a man with protein coming out of his eyeballs. Let's say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Don. And
thank you, Don.
Thank you, Danny, and thanks, Kirby.
Can I call you Don?
Of course you can.
Once we've been intimate like that, I call you Don.
Can I just call you Dave's mom?
Sure. Whatever turns you on.
Dave's mom.
Let me know when you're up for a refill. Don.
You know me.
Right now.
You bet.
There's a show to do.
I'd love a snarling.
Yes, sirree. I love the grease, man.
Here are your categories, guys. Your categories are NCAA Final Four, circumcised or not.
Doesn't matter. Not to me, it doesn't.
Name that NASCAR sponsor.
I'm not a big fan like David is of the NASCAR.
The Oscars.
Ooh, the Oscars. Who does Oscar love?
And states and capitals.
Educational. Way to go. Way to go, Mr. Shootmeister.
Okay, so we've got NCAA Final Four, circumcised or not, name that NASCAR sponsor, the Oscars, states and capitals, and Kirby. Kirby.
Yes, Kirby.
Excuse me, we will start with you, Kirby.
I'll take states and capitals for one, please.
Oh, beautiful. It is the capital of Utah.
What is Salt Lake City.
You know what? I was just about to buzz you, but I didn't have it turned on.
$1 for you, Kirby.
States and capitals for two, please.
It is the capital of the great state of Indiana.
What is, Indianapolis?
$2. I'm a Hoosier myself, Kirby. Select again, please.
States and capitals for three, please.
Good luck, Kirby.
It is the capital of the great state of Pennsylvania.
What is Harris?
Yeah, okay.
$3. He's run the first category, Donald, and I think he's to be congratulated. Kirby.
Go ahead.
You're still in control.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome. Call me Dot.
Okay, Dot.
Thank you.
Oscars for one.
Oscars for Wanda.
Mm.
You could see her nipples through her tongue.
Oh, bad boy.
Who is Jennifer Lopez?
No, Danny boy, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Halle Berry?
No.
Nope. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow nipples. Would you like to see mine? Are you sure?
I bet I could tie them in a knot.
You could look right down by my belt. All right, Kirby, select again, please.
Oscars for two, please.
This distinguished actor was relegated to being an announcer.
Danny.
I have no idea.
I know.
Yeah, Dot?
Yeah, I've been with him. Donald Sutherland.
Yeah,
Donald. Another wonderful Donald. Not as big a producer as you, though. Not by a long shot. All right, Kirby, you're in control.
Oscars for three, please.
Total time of this year's telecast.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Total time of this year's telecast.
What is 4.5 hours?
No.
Danny, your chance to steal. My right eye is closed.
What is 4 hours and 5 minutes?
No.
That's 4 hours, 15 minutes.
Kirby, you're in control. So you
how
have to
about
get
NCAA for one?
All right, NCAA Final Four. Oh, this is so easy. I'll tell you the team. You tell me the nickname, okay?
All right.
Maryland.
Terrapins.
Not in the form of a question.
Danny, your chance to steal.
Cheap point. What is Terrapins?
$1.
Not a cheap point. You didn't answer in the form of a question.
$1 for Danny. Oh, Kirby's giving back talk. We have to punish him.
Take a dollar away.
That knocks you down to $5. Kirby and Danny, you're in control.
LQ, can I have NC Final Four for two, please?
Yes, you can. Indiana.
What are the Hoosiers?
I'm a Hoosier. I love Gene Hackman and Hoosiers.
NC Final Four for three, please.
You been with him, too?
Oh, yes. He liked it a special way. He liked me to bury something. Made it more intense for him.
Kansas.
Jayhawks.
Yes. What are Jayhawks? Yes, that's right.
$3 for you, Danny. You've taken the lead.
Can I have circumcised or not for one, please?
Yes. I'll tell you the name of a celebrity. You tell me if he is circumcised or not.
I love this category.
Ben Stiller.
What is no?
That's right.
$1 for you, Danny.
Circumcised or not for two, please?
Justin Timberlake.
What is yes?
Yes. I know he is.
I'd like to see that, Timberlake.
Select again, Danny. Please.
Larry King.
What is yes?
Kirby, your chance to steal.
What is no?
Can you imagine?
We've got quite a horse race going on between Kirby and Danny. And Kirby, you're in control.
Thanks, Dot.
You're welcome, Kirby.
All you got left now is the NASCAR sponsors.
Let's do our thing with NASCAR for one.
Okay, DOT. For one, Jeff Gordon.
What is Everstate?
Everstate. Silly. Danny.
What is Coca-Cola?
No, he has two main ones, either DuPont, the paint, or Pepsi.
Kirby's in control.
NASCAR for two, please.
My man. Tony Stewart.
What is Interstate?
Danny.
What is Quaker State?
No.
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Okay. Kirby, you're in control.
NASCAR for three, please.
Rusty Wallace.
What is Interstate? That's the only one I know.
Danny, chance to steal.
What is Quaker State? I'm missing all of those.
Miller Lite. Miller Lite car.
They're funny boys.
Hey, I'm drinking a Miller Lite right now, too.
Kirby, you're in control.
Hey, listen, Dot, that's it.
That's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy, boys.
That's it, and both these guys are going to make it to the next round, right?
Yes, it's very, very close. Who will win the big prize? I think I have already.
Here is your category, guys. Final Low Budget Jeopardy, where we physically force you both to bet at all. The category is Dave Letterman Trivia.
Very good. David would be happy.
And here is the answer. Don't forget, give me in the form of a question. Here it is. Here is the answer. The real name of longtime David Letterman stooge, Larry Bud Melman.
7 hours to Poundstone.
The real name of longtime Letterman stooge, Larry Bud Melman. Fellas, don't forget, answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy
will receive pairs of David's underpants.
Oh, God.
Over the years, you know, Donald, I've saved all of David's clothing. And I have every pair of his briefs. He never, ever threw anything away. They're all white and all briefs, and some of them are just horribly stained. It's basically the history of David Letterman. You'll love them, or my name's not Dot. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with my man, Donnie.
It's game time now, JFK, with cash for
you. Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
Who do we want to talk to first here?
You want to go to the low man on the pole, Kirby.
Kirby, all right. Kirby, it's the real name of longtime Letterman stooge Larry Bud Melman.
Who is Calvert DeForest?
Right, you are.
Way to go. You double your money, Kirby. You're still in the hunt.
Thank you. All right, now, Danny, you can win if you've got the right answer.
What is Calvert DeForest?
Now, you got to say what you told the screener.
Malcolm DeForest.
Malcolm the Fourth.
That's so very funny. I'm sorry, Danny, that knocks you down to zero.
Nah, that's it. That means Kirby,
yes.
You are the big wiener. And Danny, listen, don't go away mad. Just go away.
Dan, cheater.
Here to tell you about your gifts is my lover, Dorothy Letterman.
Thank you, hon. Kirby, you double your score to $16. We throw in a $25 bonus, and you have a total of $41. Congratulations, Kirby.
Thank you very much.
And Danny, don't go away because we've got some wonderful gifts for you.
Thank you, Dot.
Are you ready? Thank you for calling me, Dot.
What are you saying? Ready for some jumbo loving?
Always. Are you ready to hear what you've won?
Yes, please.
First of all, you've won a DVD copy of OZ. Now available on video and DVD.
No,
it's
a
powerful
Dot
Hobo series.
Dot, yes. Dot, it's Oz.
Oh, dear me.
And it's the HBO series.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oz, like the wizard. The complete first season is now available to rent or buy with bonus features on DVD. Don't miss ounce on HBO.
Oz.
I'm sorry. And you have won dinner for four at Macaroni Grill. Try new Mama's Trio, homemade lasagna, chicken parmigiano, and a hand-rolled cannelloni together for just $10.99 at the Macaroni Grill. Thanks for playing, Danny.
Thank you, Dot.
Thanks, guys. All right. Have a great weekend. And, well, what can I say? But you, I'd have to rate that, that's a five-star BJ.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed being with you and your fluids.
Let me talk to Dave for a second. Let me see which line is Dave on there. Hey, Dave?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you right now, Donnie, you just ruined the day for me. I'm not sure I can continue. How was she?
I just told her, 5-star.
I mean as a guest. Mom, as a guest on your show, not 5-star. I don't want to hear your sexual preferences.
For
the love of God, have you no humanity?
She's still wearing my love.
Oh, dear. Oh, man. That's it. I'm officially committing suicide. You're killing me right now. Oh, man. Listen, I got to run. I'd love to hang out a little longer, but me and Biff got a DOT.
All
righty?
All right, Dave.
Yeah, Biff Henderson.
Right, I know you.
Real large.
Right.
Larger than Mom.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Dave. Bye, Dave.
He's upset. I've upset him. I'll bake him some cookies. I'll bake him cookies. It'll be all better.
Okay, all right.
And I'll come back and see you on the flip side. Oh, I need a face wash. I do indeed. Could I get a hot cloth?
Of course you can.
Thank you so much.
Can we get a Dot a hot cloth, please?
Before I get in the cab. I wonder what he'll look like.
Mrs. Letterman?
Yes, Donald.
Always remember, never forget that Love Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
What are you doing?
I'm playing with my nipples. Toodaloo ass.
Wow. Man.
Dave's mom. Wow.
I'd be lying if I said that wasn't a little disturbing.
I'd be lying if I said that wasn't maybe the best ever.
Well, you know, you did it, thank God you did it outside of the studio, and then when you came back in, it was not pretty at all.
No.
She no shame.
Her face looked like Remember when you were in school when they had those maps that had like bumps on them?
Relief map.
Yes. A relief map.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it was a relief map.
Or basically,
yeah.
Like it had cottage
relief
cheese on
you.
We're going to break and we'll be right back, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, pull over. I got to use the John.
Why didn't you go when we dropped Spence off?
I didn't have to go then. Excuse me for not having a prostate!
All right, Dad, there's a Dairy Queen. Go knock yourself out.
Okay, after I pee, anyone want a soft serve?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
I know a lot of people from Philadelphia on WYSP have been trying to say, well, hey, hold on, how come we don't get a phone number? We're working on that as well.
Absolutely.
Good. That's the latest I've heard now.
We're working on it?
We're working on getting, first we're working towards getting just one bank of phones.
That would be the easiest.
That works for everybody, but they've decided in the interim that we'll probably have a special number for Philadelphia as well.
But I think we have to do that, and we are trying to get that done as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Like serving Yorkshire pudding right out of a woman's privacy. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, we got a TV star, Leah Remini, on the phone. Let me see if, what line is she on? Line number five. Potty mouth?
Mm-hmm.
There she is.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program, The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
Here she is, everybody. Our bestest friend, Leah Remini. Hi, Leah.
Hi, honey.
Hey, listen, we're on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, and Monday night, I'm in the room, and we're watching television. It was the last night before we were leaving Florida.
Right.
And it's 8 o'clock, and I said to Frida and Bart, turn on Leah's show.
Okay.
And we turn on King of Queens, and what, were you busy during the episode or something? during the filming of the episode? Because
that was the week that I was doing that movie.
Oh, okay.
They had to rewrite the whole script to take me out of it. And then what was even worse was, like, you know, I think I'm like this big movie star now. I'm like, they had to rearrange the schedule for me. And I show up on Friday night, and I have to sit through the whole show until that last scene,
I don't know if you saw King of Queens on Monday.
I felt so uncomfortable being there. I mean, here I was, like, ready to kind of, like, you know, get out of the show a little bit for a minute. And I swear to God, I started crying in my dressing room.
What did you feel like? You were abandoning your castmates?
I just kind of felt out of it. Like, I walked in expecting, like, this huge applause. Like, oh, my God, it's been so horrible here without you, you know? And I walk in, and they're in the middle of the scene, and I'm like, what's up? You know, I walk in kind of obnoxious.
Hey, if you didn't see the show, it was a show that Leah's character, Carrie, was out of town.
Right.
And she was only featured in one scene at the very end when she was in a hotel room.
What does Doug do when Carrie's out of town?
Well, Doug has apparently his mother and father come over.
Oh, really?
And that guy
who plays the father.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He didn't like him? Oh, okay.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't like him. I don't like Doug's parents on the show.
You really don't?
No. And you know who I really don't like?
What?
Is that really Kevin's brother or cousin or?
Yeah, it's his brother.
Yeah.
You don't like him?
You mean the guy that plays his brother on the show is really his brother?
He plays his cousin on the show.
But it's really his brother. He's kind of a slicky boy.
Can't you tell how much they look alike?
Yeah, they do. He's different. I mean, in a lot of ways.
Do you think they look alike?
No, I don't. I really don't.
I think they look 100% alike.
Okay.
Anyway, just drives me nuts. But
hey, I got to tell Leah something. I got an email from that's circulating now, right around the Final Four thing. It's circulating around the emails, and it's this tier system where, you know, how we rated women on the show, where women are being rated now, and you've got it laid out just like the NCAA playoffs in college, and Leah is right in there.
Wow. What's the website?
I forgot what it is.
How you guys kind of didn't even have me in the running.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
No, you're in there.
I mean, you're like among...
I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you I kind of hung up going, what? Okay, I feel like you guys are falling out of love with me.
No, never would we fall out of love with you.
The reason I was telling you that is that you are... rated very poorly.
Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you why I was telling you that about
not
the...
rated poorly.
I was telling you that...
Well, not Mike.
Oh, jeez. You know, no, I was the one that did it.
What?
I was telling you that...
Mike rated you poorly.
I was the one that rated you lower than Don.
Poorly, Mike.
I didn't rate you poorly. No, you... I don't want to go over this again.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you rated her a 5.3.
But then I thought about it. Listen to me.
No, it wasn't a 5.3. It was a 5.7.
Mike...
If that's where you guys rate me, that's where you rate. It really doesn't matter. What matters...
Mike, right
is
here.
...is that I'm a good person.
That's Leah right. Remini, that's right, Mike right. O'Mara, 5.3.
Wow. That's fine. That's fine. The fact that I was rated,
I can't help it that you rated Leah
a 5.3 and I rated her a 6.7.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I can't help it.
But I can't be mad at Mike right now because he really doesn't have a locker. You know, I feel kind of bad for him right now.
Yeah, I don't want to be kicked now. I'm down.
Yeah, he's down. I don't really want
to. And I'm really down. I mean, I'm not faking comedy down right now. I'm down. I am really, really
bumming. Well, why don't
bumming.
You work at it then?
What, work on what?
On your marriage.
Well, what do you mean? I have worked on my marriage.
Well?
I've been working on my marriage for a long time.
Well, that's what marriage is, honey. It's
I understand. Hey, let me explain it to you. I am not the dumper. I am the dumpee.
Okay, well, what are you doing to get her back?
I've done everything.
What's everything?
I can't go into it exactly, but I've...
Oh!
I can't. Not on the radio. I don't want to do that.
Oh, all right.
But I mean, I will tell you that I believe that I've given it my best shot, and I think that this is what, you know,
but
this
I'm
is the way it's...
You, yes. I'm telling you, men sometimes think they're doing everything they think they should do, but
right.
are you doing everything that she would want you to do?
Well, how could I possibly know that?
Mike,
how could I know that?
Mike,
I am not a...
How many years?
I'm not a...
Seven years. I'm sure she has... some valid things that you have not even started to work on.
I don't know.
Mike, come on.
Dom, will you tell Leah that I have given this my best shot?
Hold on.
I have given this my goddamn best shot.
He doesn't want to get into all the details, and I don't want to take sides, even though I've told him all along I'm on his side.
This is not what I want. This is what another person wants. And when you get that situation, you can't always change it, no matter what you try. And believe me, I've been through all of it. And right up until the last, actually, really, probably, in my mind, when I came on the air yesterday with it, right up until yesterday,
yeah.
you know, I was holding out, you know, the hope that things would be together. And you know what? Down the road, after this, maybe they will be together again. I would hope that would happen. That's where I am right now.
Let me ask one question.
But thanks for making me cry.
Can we move on? Can I ask one question?
Jesus, just because I gave you a 5.3, you make me cry.
Yeah, what?
Mike!
What?
I don't care about the rating.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
I don't care anymore.
Yes, you do.
But anyway, what else?
Okay, this is what I want to ask you. Mike.
Yes. I would love to date you during the separation.
Mike.
The answer is yes, Leah.
She's asked you to go to therapy.
We have been to therapy.
And that's done. It's over.
We were in therapy for a very long period of time.
For over a year.
Well over a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll drop it.
Okay.
I'll drop it.
Right.
I'm very sorry, Mike. I really am sorry. If you're not lying, I really am sorry.
I'm not lying.
Well, then why would he be lying to you?
I know. I tell her the truth. I'm telling you the truth right
Mike,
now.
Mike, I don't know when you're being funny or not.
You know who gave her the names of divorce lawyers? The therapist.
Are you serious?
I am
lying.
Totally serious.
You're lying.
I am telling the truth.
You know what, Leah?
Well, that's a bad therapist.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, I didn't say that. There you go. Leah, you know, I believe what Leah says most
it's
of the time.
Not a good therapist. A therapist should not be giving you divorce.
I know. Bingo. Hit that a couple more. As a matter of fact, hit that. There you go. You're absolutely right.
Right.
All right,
right.
Back to the show.
Yes, please.
You missed me.
Mm-hmm. Of course we missed you.
Okay.
And,
now, I think what's happened... No, I don't think what's happened. They have told me. They are running out of some story ideas for us. Now, their big thing is they think we should do the baby thing. Do you agree?
That you should have a baby? No.
No.
No,
no
way.
You know what?
All right.
That is
some story ideas.
That will kill the show.
I agree with you. you, because I think Jerry Stiller is our baby in the show.
Absolutely, and you know something? I have always said that you two guys remind me of the modern-day honeymooners, now, and they never had a baby on the honeymooner.
Now that you even mentioned that Jerry's the baby, how about an episode where he can't control his bowels?
Yes, you make Jerry go off the total deep end. You make him. I've said that all along. You make Jerry totally off the wall.
You have him wear adult diapers.
Absolutely.
You have an episode where Jerry Stiller cannot control his bowels.
You know, I know.
Give me real serious.
But you know something? Nobody does cutting edge except like late night television. And I'll tell you right now, can you imagine the comedy value of the Jerry Stiller incontinence episode? I mean, really, where, you know, and it doesn't, you know what, if you handled it the right way, you could get it by the censors, and you could get it by where there was a problem.
Okay, then what are Doug and I doing other than mopping up
after? Yeah, okay. Hello.
She gets the cup.
Okay, that's it. Now, listen, if you really, seriously.
That's
if you,
5 minutes. What do we do with the other 15?
You know what, honey, really, listen
I'm
to me.
I'm laughing
now.
At that 5 minutes.
Listen to me. If you're running out of ideas,
yeah.
I'm very serious on this. I'm serious as cancer. You have your writers, call me.
Okay.
I've been married for 20 years. I'm telling you, there are millions of situations that you and Kevin have not been through as a married couple together.
Like what?
Now I'm going to get in on this, too. I'm not letting you, like, hog this one. I'm going to tell you right now, you want ideas, I will send you 10 pages of ideas that I have thought about for sitcoms
for
people that are married.
Now, I'm not lying. I'm going to bring this to them. Now, listen, you have to remember that there's an A story and there's a B story.
Right.
Now, I'm usually part of the B story, which
I understand.
Really kind of, like, not really part of a story.
Right. I understand.
Okay, but the A story is the real driving force, and the B story is like, you know, Carrie doesn't know what to do at work. Kind of.
Have you ever had a kleptomania story?
Where I had a problem?
Yeah. Or Doug?
No.
Okay.
So we had a problem where I cheat.
How about?
At board games.
Oh, you see.
Oh, you know, but see, when you said you cheat, right away it was
that'd
like...
be edgy.
Yeah, but you know what? She could cheat without banging a guy, though. She could meet a guy and, like, be...
No, she's talking about cheating on board games.
No, we did a show like that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What about a show where you have to, because money's tight, you have to strip to make ends meet?
Now you're being retarded, Doctor.
Or you are... God, I just wish... Don't you wish... you know, with your sense of humor and your cutting-edge sense of humor, Leah, do you ever wish that... that you were in a forum, because, I mean, network television sitcoms, you are limited. I mean, we all know you're limited.
I wish I was in a forum of which I could curse.
And just have more cutting-edge ideas. Like, you look at a show like on HBO, you look at a show like 6 Feet Under, and you see the edge. Wait a minute. You look at it at a show like 6 Feet Under, and you see what they can do, and you see where they can go, and it just would be, frustrating.
But you can.
I know.
And listen, don't bitch about that, because you're on 8 o'clock on Monday night on CBS. Mm-hmm. You finally have a hit TV series.
Hey, we did our 100th episode last
year. Oh, you made the syndication number.
Thank you.
Can you loan me some money?
I'm going to give you a serious idea based, and this, I swear to Christ, based on my experience with Frida.
Okay, listen to
me. You get mad.
Kind of money. Do you know what kind of money? If they just use your idea, Don, you would get such a nice check.
Honey, listen to me.
You didn't have to write it. If you came up with the concept.
Okay, listen to the concept, because this happened to me.
All right. Go ahead.
You come home one day.
Yeah.
You open the cable bill or your DirecTV bill.
Yeah.
And you notice that Kevin has been ordering porno.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Okay.
Even though you have a real good sex life with him.
Yeah.
And even though you bang him all the time,
yeah.
He still is sneaking around,
right?
And watching porno.
Okay.
And
Kevin masturbation episode.
And what you do is what Frida.
That's what it would be in the TV guide.
What Frida did was she actually went through and on all the TVs changed the parental controls so that I was locked out of the porno channels.
So what happened?
So, well, what I had to do was call DirecTV.
Right.
And tell them I had a problem with my bill. and had to say, I want to renew the NFL's ticket. I want to renew the NBA ticket.
Right. And I think something else in there to make it less. Like when you go to 7-Eleven to get condoms, you get some gum and some foil.
And then I said, you know what? I think at some point, because of my kid, I might have put this parental lock on, and I don't know what the number is to get it out. And the woman said, oh, well, it's 877-365-3939. And then, boom, I got it back, and I was safe until the next month when Frida got the bill again. And it's right there. I've just given you an idea.
All right, what's the B story?
Well, the writers can come up
the
with
B
that.
Story would be Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry has a theft problem, where he's giving you expensive gifts, and you know small expensive gifts, and you don't know why, and it turns out that he's stealing.
Well, now that could
because he has Alzheimer's disease.
Well, the B story should be
shut up, Rob.
The B story should be the easiest story,
right?
All right.
Sometimes the B story can be the funnier.
Hold on. I'm going to give you another one.
What?
I'm going to give you another one.
All right.
Free of charge.
Let me see this. It can't be two stories of similar nature.
Yeah, they're not. And this is another.
They are. Jerry's stealing.
I'm just giving you the A story.
Right.
Okay.
Here's another A story. And this is a true story that happened to me.
Okay.
When I lived in Los Angeles, when I worked at KISS FM.
Yeah.
Over 20 years ago.
I didn't know you worked at KISS.
Yeah. And I was making about $45,000 a year, making pretty good money.
Yeah.
But I was driving a moped to work because we had one car.
Right.
My wife worked in the Valley and I worked on Sunset Boulevard. All the other disc jockeys at KISS FM, like Rick Dees and Paul Freeman, they all had Porsches.
Right.
So one night, we had a party at a Porsche dealership because we were giving a car away, and I bought one. And I bought the car, and this is true, but I didn't tell Frida because we couldn't afford it.
Right.
So what I did was I worked the night shift, and she worked during the daytime. I would park the car 5 blocks away from our apartment, and I would wait for her to go to work. Then I would go, and I would drive around Los Angeles all day in my Porsche and until it was time for me to go to work. Then I would park the Porsche 5 blocks away, get on my moped, and ride my moped to work.
Right.
That worked great until one morning when Frida realized that she had left her purse at home.
And she discovered your Porsche.
And as she was pulling down our street, I drove past her where,
How about crossover magic? The cast of CSI investigates the death of Jerry Stiller.
Driving.
That is really horrible.
I was just joking.
And here I am giving you a true idea.
Right.
So what happens is she then
they can't be the B story for the same episode though.
She then makes me go to the dealership.
He's steamrolling ahead. Nothing will stop him right now. He won't listen because he's swimming in Lake Mee right now. But I will tell you right now.
Excuse me. I've just given her two fantastic ideas.
No, but it can't be the B story. It can't be the B story because they're both centered around what Kevin's doing. So you can't have
I'm only coming up with the A story.
Oh, the A story. Okay.
I am only coming up with the A story.
I feel like I'm listening to a breakdown. On live radio.
You think you're listening to a breakdown?
Mike.
What?
Calm down. Go ahead, Don.
All right, go ahead, Don.
I'm just coming up with the A story. You know, the B story is the easy stuff to fill.
Right.
So then she makes me go to the car dealership, and I have to go in and I have to say, I can't buy this car. And they say to me, well, you've signed the papers. It's too bad. You have to keep the car. And I come back outside where Frida's waiting, and I said, they won't let me give the car back. And then she took the keys, and she went inside, and she said, my husband is a moron. We can't afford this car.
We did that. We did that episode.
Oh, you crushed him. What?
He buys it without asking me, thinking he's going to get a raise. I go in. I go, listen, guy. We can't afford the car. You got to take it back. And he goes, no can do.
I remember that episode.
Yeah. Oh. All right, then. All right, then I'm spent.
No, you've got hundreds of
people. Watch a great story.
Bob. Okay, hold on. I got another one. Okay.
Jerry Stiller auditions for Survivor and comes up missing due to Alzheimer's.
Actually, that's kind of funny.
Thank you.
All right, and I got one more.
Not that he comes up, but that we do an episode of Survivor, like where we go and we do something. Like,
or you audition for a reality television program.
All right, and then maybe one. Like Kevin and I don't make it, and Jerry does.
Yeah.
Let me give you one more, and we're running up on a break, but let me give you one more real-life story
All right.
from when we lived in Los Angeles. Frida and I have been living out there for maybe a month.
Okay.
She's working for Drake Chenault, which at the time was a big radio syndicator, and I'm working at Kiss FM.
Okay.
She says, hey, I get invited to a party at these people's house in the valley. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to Christ, this is true as well.
Yeah.
We showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who were the only people that were invited to this party?
What?
Me and Frida.
What?
We get there with this guy. We've been in Los Angeles less than 2 months.
Right.
It's just this guy that Frida works with and his wife. They've invited us. We realize that there's no one else at the party.
What, they wanted a swing or something?
Honey, hold on. It gets better.
Right.
They say, why don't you come out back and let's sit back by the pool.
Right.
We go back by the pool.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, like in the pool or?
No.
Oh, okay.
They have a backyard area with a pool.
Right.
They say, let's sit back here and have some drinks.
Okay.
We are sitting there. They're getting the drinks. They come out. He's naked. She's naked.
Shut up.
I swear to Christ, they want to swing with us.
No, wait a minute. They come out naked, and I want to know Frida's exact reaction.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
How about Doug has a heart attack? Maybe later.
What is wrong with you? You're
well, I'm not having a break.
Bad things, Mike.
I am not. Excuse me, Rob.
Everybody's so awesome.
Rob,
here.
Rob, come to the microphone. Wait a minute.
7, 5, 9.
Hey, Rob.
Hold on.
What,
you know,
whose idea was that? That was from Rob Spiewak. Leah, that was not from me.
I just hung up on her. I didn't mean to.
We get a little excited when Leah's on the show. Your mic's not on. He doesn't have your microphone on.
Sorry. You don't like the Alzheimer's angle?
Leah?
No, I hung. Someone has to get her back on the phone.
Oh, in all the panic.
I hung up on everybody.
Hey, if I haven't answered this phone, you can try me at home.
That does me no good.
No.
Does me no good. And what's your... I'm just trying to come up with A stuff. You can come
We're
up
very
with...
greedy and possessive when it comes to Leah. We are all very, very... We begin very competitive.
I didn't mean to hang up on
it. I thought Mike hung up on it.
No, I didn't mean to...
No, and I got to tell you something. Right now, that was Rob's thing about the Doug has a heart attack. I just read it.
I'm just doing brainstorming stuff.
I'm sorry. I'm not... Leah, you don't think I'm having a breakdown, do you?
We're just having a creative meeting.
Leah, that really hurt my feelings. Of all the things you said, that really hurt my feelings. You said I was having a breakdown.
Well, it doesn't feel good, does it?
Wow. Why are you being so hostile to me?
No.
5.3.
That's it.
What?
That's what it is.
What?
It's the rating. Yep. All right, I blew it.
So anyway, the answer is...
I'm never going first on those things.
Personality means nothing.
The answer to the question about what happened with Frida was that
what happened, Mike? Your wife gained like 2 pounds or something, and you wanted to leave her.
Oh my God! Such hostility! What did I do to deserve this?
So all that happens is at the end of
a little root showing or something, and you just couldn't deal with it anymore.
Frida and I, we say to these people,
what have I done?
We say to these people, we don't. This is not what we.
I know Mike judges so harshly. Go ahead, John.
What? How am I judging you? You mean that this is all about the number?
Go ahead, Doug.
God damn it.
No, never
should have done that.
No, I've tried her on her cell and I can't get her.
All right, so they come out naked.
They come out naked. And
your response is what?
Our response is, oh my God. And he comes over to her and she comes over to me and she says, how about you and I swim at this end of the pool and my husband and your wife can swim at that end of the pool? At which point we said... good night. We'll see you later. It was like our worst. We just come from Chicago, never been to Los Angeles. We went out, got our little Honda, and we drove away.
He got the B plot for you. Here's the B plot. Doug rates Carrie a 5.3. She gets mad, and Spence gets leukemia.
All right.
Wow.
I'm the only one taking this seriously today.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, you really are. No,
I'm
wait
sorry.
A minute.
I'm okay. Having a breakdown. I'm allowed to do these
things.
We
could do a B story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very funny that Doug and Carrie get invited to some business function.
And they want to swing.
And then they want to swing.
They want to swing.
But it has to go somewhere.
Well, you know, with us, here's where it went. It went. We went running out of there.
In fear.
And we got into our little, at the time it was one of those Hondas that was so small, like clowns come out of it, you know?
Yeah.
We got in our little car and we're like, Christ, if this is what Los Angeles is about, we don't want to be here.
I got the B plot.
Laugh your asses off?
I got the B plot.
Now we do.
Deacon's... Amputation.
Deacon's what?
Amputation.
A leg or an arm?
It could be either. It could be either. It'll work. A hand.
And that's the B story?
That would be the B story. You know, how can he do the job with the parcel delivery service?
Funny.
With one arm. Let me try my wife.
Calling? One more time. Hold on.
Are we calling Frida?
Yes.
Calling Frida.
Let me try her one more time.
Okay.
We're not, Rob and I are having a little fun with this right now. We can't help ourselves.
I'm telling you, I think that I could make some dough.
If I haven't answered this phone, you can try me at home at 7:00.
Oh, come on, honey. What are you, you're killing me here, honey.
Does she know she needs to be available in case you need to call her?
Press 1 or just wait for the...
Honey, listen, it's me. I'm on with Leah.
Hi, Frida.
I believe that we can sell an idea to King of Queens about that time that we went to, when we worked at Drake Chenault, when those people wanted to swing with us. So, but I need you to call to tell me what happened, because all I remember is we just got in the car and we drove away, and we were scared. But there has to be a funny ending to it. So
funny.
So call me. I love you. Bye, baby.
B-plot. Jerry Stiller starts killing cats.
What?
Starts killing cats and burying them in the backyard.
That's always funny.
It works. It works for me. Funny.
All right.
Absolutely.
We got a break. Let's let me get my ducks in a row on this, and let's speak next week.
Okay.
Leah.
Guys.
Leah.
Mike.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you.
I hope you feel better.
I do too.
Get rid of the therapist.
Oh, absolutely. That's done.
All right.
Oh,
what?
I don't want to appear to be needy here.
What?
But I know this has been all about Mike and Mike's problems, but I came in and asked me about my tattoo.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I'll tell you the next time we talk.
Don't tell me now.
I'll tell you next time we talk.
Tell me.
No, I'll tell you next time.
Oh, man.
All right. Bye, baby.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We go kind of crazy when Leah's on the show.
Well, no, listen. I see this as a chance to really cash in.
Mm-hmm.
That I got tons of stuff like that.
You do?
Tons of stuff.
Yeah.
I think if you and I work together...
Yeah, I think... I mean, seriously. And the idea about, you know, through all of that, the idea about the swingers... would be brilliantly funny.
Mm-hmm. And
you could even write, I mean, I know we joke about it, you can even write a thing about Jerry wigging out and make it palatable to the censors and make it funny. You know?
I am really, seriously for Jerry Stiller losing
control of his bladder and
bowels.
But you could start it, you know, it'd be a progressive thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is a progressive
thing. He just leaves a wet spot.
But it could start out as simple loss of memory.
Okay. We have to break. That is TV star Leah Remini.
And then, meanwhile, your cohort back there, we'll have to get him involved in that, too, with Deacon's amputation.
From King of Queens. God. Thank you, Leah. We will be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sports 1140 KHTK.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right now, I know that this is... Hey, Leah, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, I got a free gun line. Hey, sweetie.
Yeah, my darling.
So what, you were in a bad cell? You heard Leah?
Yeah, no, I did. I heard everything, and it was dawning on me that we really do live a kind of soap opera-y life.
Tell Leah what happened that night.
Those things are true. I mean, I saw the episode, too, where he had to take back the car, and I thought it was funny. But when I see it happen on television, I think, well, that's, you know... clever, but it doesn't happen in real life, and I'm realizing that a lot of this stuff has happened in our real life, and that happens when you marry a man who really is not that bright.
Thank you, honey. Now listen, tell her what happened. Tell her the story about when we first got to LA, when we got invited to that party.
No, that's right. I was remembering. We got there, and we, like, circled the block several times because it was one of those kind of deals where we were just thinking we were the first, and we didn't want to be the first. And I finally said, come on, we've got to go in. I told these people we'd be there, and we can't wait for other people to show up. And then nobody else showed up, and we're just trying to kill time because we can't walk in and then turn around and leave right away.
Right.
And they say, do you want to go get in the hot tub or get in the pool? And we said, well, we don't have our bathing suits.
Right.
And they said, well, we'll lend you a couple of suits. So we said, okay, because really we had nothing to talk about. We didn't even know the people hardly. So we went and got in the hot tub with them.
But, was this your boss?
No, this was, I think that, Don, sweetie, Mike, I think that I worked with the woman. I think that I knew the woman.
All I know is we got invited to the party through someone, not through someone at Kiss FM, but through
someone where you worked. And right. I had told her that I would be there. So we're in the hot tub with their borrowed bathing suits, and they came out naked. So then, sitting in the hot tub, I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
And so I don't remember which, I think it was me. I thought, well, I'll just swim over into the main part of the pool to get away from all the nakedness.
Right.
And then the man comes swimming after me. And now I'm isolated with the man. Just, right. And you're in the hot tub with the woman naked.
And then,
I think we kind of stopped being, you know, Miss Manners. I think we kind of left the manners behind and said, okay, well, we really have to be going.
But, Rita, when they came out, did you guys go, what are you guys doing? Like, what's the deal?
Well, no, because we were stupid and we just thought we didn't know the way things, you know, that people were cooler out in LA.
Oh, and we'd only been in Los Angeles like a month.
Yeah.
Were they attractive?
We weren't very cool.
But did you know, work with her? Did you see her after that?
Yeah, and I didn't say anything. I mean, I didn't. She was, she didn't work in my department. She must have worked. She was like a receptionist, secretary, somewhere I had to pass by, and I would just kind of nod, give a little nod and pass by. And I didn't know people well enough to say, well, because all these other people said that they were going to the party.
Experience.
You should have seen.
That's why they didn't show up.
You should have seen us. You should have seen us when we got our clothes on.
Yeah.
We ran out to our little Honda, and then we got in the car, and we just sat there. We said, do you friggin' believe that?
We're going home.
That is so freaky. So there you go. That's a real idea. Take that. Run with that. Send me the check.
All right. I'll tell them about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye, Leah.
Bye, Leah. Nice to meet you.
Bye. All right, baby. Thanks. Wow. Honey?
Okay. Also gone.
All right, they're both gone.
Were they hot?
No.
I mean, was she hot?
No.
Was he hot for a woman?
No.
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 Celebrities they most resemble, do you have any memory?
Him? Really close. I'm not kidding you. The guy who was Maude's husband?
Oh, Bill Macy. Oh, my God.
And her?
Like that old?
Yeah, and her.
Disgusting.
All I remember about her is that the skin was like leather.
Oh.
Like too much in the sun and maybe
a little saggy.
In a tanning booth.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross.
Hey, we got some good instant feedback. Let me see. Donna Mike, here's a good storyline for King of Queens. Leah wants to know why Kevin keeps asking Jerry to go DOT. And Leah learns their terrible secret.
They're pleasuring each other orally.
And now, you know what? And as long as we're on the topic of rating women, which we were there for a second.
Yeah, because I got this thing. I'll get you that website because it was really, it was very interesting. And it was done in the tier system. And I ended up, I think, with the two champions. My champion was Halle Berry. As it turned out, and I think my final two were Anna Kournikova and Halle Berry.
Uh-huh. Eventually, we will end up finishing this list. I would like to call, though, as a witness right now, our own producer, the lovely Lisa Herndon.
If Lisa would
please enter the studio for a moment.
Wonderful.
Because, you know, I'm looking at this list, and I was thinking how hurt Leah's feelings were when you gave her a 5.3. And I know that we rated Lisa, but Lisa, I don't see you on our list.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, what happened with that?
How come you're not on the list?
Oh, yeah, those are just celebrities.
Okay, well, what are the ratings that we gave you?
You don't remember?
No.
9.8.
We both gave you 9.8?
No.
No? Okay, really?
I don't remember. It was somewhere middle of the pack, I think.
Can you go research, please, right now?
Yeah.
Find out what we rated you?
Go find out right now. I mean, please, let me split.
7.2.
Both of us?
We both gave you 7.2?
Yeah. We both gave you 7.2?
Yeah.
I never do this. I never amend anything once it's been done.
Right.
But I'm going to give you a 5.1.
That's fine.
Because that's what you gave me.
Ouch.
Take that.
I think I'll keep my rating right where it is.
Okay.
I mean, I just want to dispel a few myths about the way I get along with the lovely Ms. Herndon.
Don't lie.
There you go. Okay, let's make it a 4.3. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm joking.
Kidding.
No, I'm maintaining that. I'm not going to go back on it. I'm not going to go back on anything.
I am.
It's been way too much trouble for me anyway.
I am.
Stand by what it is.
Did I do something wrong?
Huh?
Did I do something wrong?
No! I was just sitting
not
here.
Me.
I'm looking at the list, and I'm thinking, boy, Leah was upset because she was a 5'3". And as I recall, what did you give Monsignor Jughead?
I don't remember.
I think it was a 6'5".
A 6.5.
A 6.5.
Yeah. A 6.5 for him.
Yeah.
And a 5.1 for me.
This should not be done among friends.
No.
You know, you're a 5.1.
I'm not gonna get involved with this anymore. It's just too much pain for me to handle.
Change my official rating and put yourself on the list, please.
Put yourself on the list.
Put yourself on the list with the amended rating of a 5.1 for me.
That's good.
You got your
amendment there. That's
okay.
Good. And I, you know, since we're doing that, I'd like to amend the list too, if possible. Can I do that? Can I amend the list?
In what regard?
Can I amend the list?
To who?
May I make a change?
For Leah?
No, I may I make any change on the list at all?
Maybe.
Is that a yes?
Who do you want to change?
I think I'm not exactly sure. There was one. There were two or three on there that I wanted to amend a little bit. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is Leah one of them?
Yes.
No.
She is.
No.
I want to change her.
I'm only doing this out of spite to Lisa.
Yeah.
So spite is okay, but redemption is not. I'd like to change my rating of
sure.
Leah Remini.
Sure. All right. What do you want to give her?
10.
Wow.
Ass kiss.
Thank you.
10.
Thank you very much.
Good move.
She knocks out Heidi Klum out of my top spot.
10. Okay.
There we are.
All right.
I can't take that emotional abuse. That was as hard as she ever was on me before.
That's fine. All right, so those are the changes. Leah's a 10. You're a 5-1.
What? Can I just ask you what I did? You said you're doing this out of spite.
No, I'm remembering.
I'm remembering that, too.
I'm remembering the day when.
But I'm not nearly getting it. I'm keeping my rating at
10.2. We had a sexpert on the show, and we asked you to rate us. You rated Buzz at a 4.7. A 4.7.
Buzz, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You rated me a 5.1, Mike a 5.1, and old Flathead a 6-something.
You know, this it's just trouble whenever we get involved with this rating.
Yes,
it
is. This is why I didn't want to do this.
Well,
but it's good. It's good. It's important to do this.
Well, you're a 5-1. I love you. You're a great producer, but you're a 5-1. I give you the exact same rating you gave me.
What if I want to give you a 7.2 now?
Well, that would be, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're a 5-1, officially. Write it down.
So wait, you can change yours out of spite, but I can't change mine for a certain reason?
If you would like in your mind to rate me higher than that, that's fine. But I'm talking about the list that we have. Yes, in the real list.
Okay, wait, if you guys get to change, then I definitely get to change.
Go ahead.
Would you like to re-rate?
You want to be honest? Go ahead.
All right. I'll start with Buzz.
All right, Buzz, what did you give Buzz last time?
4.7.
Mm-hmm.
7.2.
Yeah, she's changing to a 7.2.
Right. Mike,
mm-hmm.
Last time I went 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
Rob.
Yes? Buddy.
6.5 last time.
Yeah. I think I'll stay with a 6.5.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Now I'm ready. Here you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Don?
Yes.
Last time I gave you 5.1?
Yeah.
I think I will give you a 7.3.
Bitch. God damn it. Get out of my sight.
Can I have my 7.2 back?
No, because it's not true.
There you go.
I mean,
that means 5.1 is not true.
No, your seven point, whatever you're giving me now, it's BS.
So is your 5.1.
I'd like to give all of you perfect tens.
Thank you.
You're a 5.1.
Because I'm having a breakdown.
If someone has, Brian, are you listening to this upstairs? Give Lisa a 5.1 on my scale.
Very good.
Thanks. Okay.
that 7.2 business?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was kidding.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
You're a 5.1.
Oh, dear.
Right.
It's gotten very interesting. This is the end of the week, even though it's been an abbreviated week. Yeah, what did I do?
No, I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure she thinks you guys are dung as well.
Dung. You are dung. That's a good put down to say. You know what you are? You're dung.
We got a break.
Speaking of dung.
Hold on a second, Buzz. We're going to wait a minute on the news and the comments.
All right.
We got the movie review segment, and I think Buzz is a big part. You're the co-star of this today,
That's
right?
what I understand.
With,
Very good.
With Chuck Stossel. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com with all the skin folk from the latest movies. Four new flicks hit theaters this weekend: Clockstoppers, The Rookie, Panic Room, and Death to Smoochie. And it's death to nudity. Not one upskirt, not one down blouse, not even a bare shoulder to cry on. How's a pervert supposed to make a living around here? Thank God for DVDs. Angelina Jolie's movie Original Sin hits the stores this week. The flick is loaded with great skin, but the high point is 18 minutes and 10 seconds in. That's when you get a great look at Angelina Jolie's while Antonio Banderas is giving her an oil change. I am very happy to report that they are finally releasing the 1994 skin classic Exit to Eden on DVD next week. There's a ton of gratuitous nudity in the movie, but my favorite scene is when former China Beach babe Dana Delaney shows some full frontal getting out of the pool, and it is wet and woolly fur burgerish. Warning, warning, Rosie O'Donnell is in a black leather bondage outfit of the movie, so keep the remote handy. I'm Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, fast-forwarding to the good part.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
That's right.
Pardon them for being human. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
My apologies to Buzz with the news today. I totally mishandled the time.
That's all right.
But Buzz is going to be an important part of the next segment, the movies with the mother chucker, Chuck Stossel. It's time for the movies with Charlie Stossel while we wheel Charlie in here. Here he is. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, guys.
Let me mention that next week on the show, Monday, April Fool's Day, we'll do something. Mystery guest coming up. Also, the return of the City versus City Phone Booth Olympics. And next week on the show, I take it back, with three mystery guests next week.
Wow.
And at some point next week, it's going to be the all-caller show.
That is
going
to be a wonderful experiment. I can't wait for that.
It's going to be a mess. Just you guys. Not us. Just you guys. Thank you, Charlie. Charlie Broyhill just came in with the amended list.
He loves that. You know, I think Charlie Broyhill may like lists almost as much as you do.
Yeah, the amended list of the rating of the women. And, hi, Charlie.
When did you get those queer headphones?
Yeah, Mike, go on the airplane.
Mike is where
Don hates it. Don hates it so much he hasn't even mentioned it today. Wow.
Mike hates it so.
You know how he hates change? I haven't brought it up because I know that would annoy him, but he has not said a word, which is normally the key indication that he truly hates the change.
Mike is wearing the fag Don Imus type headset.
Stethoscope type.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like them.
Oh, so because of your hair?
It's, yes, I don't want to mess up my beautiful hair.
Your coif.
You would not understand that.
No, I wouldn't. Right.
Let me see. All right. Lisa Herndon, when you add her into the total picture, where's the average? Hey, Charlie, where should figure out overall? Because I see Don.
Hey, on one of those pages that came from Charlie's office, is that excrement?
I can see that I gave her a 5.1. Mike gave her a 7.2. Average 6.15. Which puts her where?
Studying the list.
Right, he's looking at the list right now.
30th
place. Lisa Herndon.
Out of how many, Don?
I'm not sure what you've got here.
What I have is the updated list now with your new score for Leah, which moves her into third place overall.
Okay.
So it's Coombe, Curly, Remini, Kournikova, Halle Berry. That's your top five.
I like that top five.
There you go. And Lisa Herndon, number 30 overall.
What are her? Did you maintain my 7.2 for her?
Yes, I did. On my list, Lisa Herndon is number 46. On your list, Mike, Lisa Herndon is number 22.
Number 22.
Yay, Mike.
Thank you.
There you go. So anyway,
And also, I mentioned next week the caller show, and we're coming live to Philadelphia a week from Monday.
Hey.
Going to do a couple of shows from Philly, do some live stuff in the studio, do some nude feuding and stuff like that.
Bueno.
So get ready, we're coming your way, Philadelphia. Now time for movies with movie man Charlie Stossel.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico, here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
There he is. Lots of new movies opening this weekend.
Yeah.
One in particular I'm dying to see, and I'm waiting to hear what you have to say about it. And with the opposing point of view this week,
aye,
will be Buzz Burbank. This is going to be a tough role for Buzz, because Buzz is going to have to, as you know.
Yeah. I'm an agreeable guy, and my job here is to disagree with Charlie.
Yes, you are, and to disagree as, you know,
as hard as possible.
I see. Don't hesitate to get personal, Buzz.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Charlie, how many movies this week?
Four. Don, would Clockstoppers be the movie that you want to go see this week?
Nick's.
Really? It's directed by by Will Riker. This is
Jonathan
Frakes getting out of his Star Trek mode. This is about a kid named Zach. Zach discovers a watch that he thinks actually makes time stop running, but it's kind of like an old Star Trek episode, or the Kirk one, where there's that buzzy bee sound going on, and they find out that they're moving so much faster than everybody else.
Don't hear that name Zach too much in Hollywood either.
No, you don't, do you? He gets this watch, and it actually speeds up your metabolism, so you're moving so much faster than everybody else. It seems as though time stands still. Wouldn't I like to have this watch and just run around everywhere?
Just taking people's clothes off.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that what you could do? So you get people naked and you could
watch them and dress them, and they'd probably never know.
And they wouldn't know that you were the one that took their clothes off.
but they don't do that in the movie, do they?
No, they don't.
Of course not.
No, of course, there's the bad evil guy then that comes in and kidnaps Zach's dad so that he can get the watch for evil.
All right. Clockstoppers.
Clockstoppers.
Is it like a Nickelodeon movie?
Yeah, it's not made by Nickelodeon, but it's targeting that Spy Kids, that 9, 10, 11.
If the technology really existed and someone was just sitting at their desk,
yeah,
couldn't you like do them?
Yeah.
And it'd be so quick that they wouldn't know?
They'd wonder what this...
Don't you remember the fantasy I had all those years ago when I said my fantasy was like to go into a bank,
right,
have everybody just freeze,
right,
and I could undress people,
yep,
and then someone called and said that there was a book, that somebody had written a book
about that,
based on that very theory.
Very interesting.
Very similar to
lovely fantasy.
Going into a bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, or any public
anywhere. Thing.
How many dolls do you give this, Charlie?
One and a half, two.
One and a half or two. Yeah. Buzz.
I thought it was a great movie. Jonathan Frakes can do no wrong as a director, what with his Star Trek experience and all. And Charlie, you got to be nuts if you don't like a movie about being able to stop time.
Well, Buzz, I would love to be able to do it. I just can't see myself. I can't apply this to my everyday life. I wish I could.
Come on, loosen up. Have fun.
Yes.
It's okay. It's entertainment. Please enjoy it, Charlie.
I am trying my best.
What is the next movie, Charlie?
Next movie, Death to Smoochie.
Now, this is the one I want to see.
This is the one you want to see. This is very black comedy. Danny DeVito directs, and he did more.
Why are you bringing race into it?
I'm not bringing race. It's more of a genre of comedy.
Oh, and you said black comedy.
Puerto Rican, you know. Sorry about that.
It's very dark about...
Hey, here you go again.
A fuchsia-colored rhinoceros, a Barney type, not purple, he is fuchsia. It always comes down to it, Rob, doesn't it?
Color.
Played by Ed Norton. He, in turn, displaces Robin Williams's character. He's a lot like Krusty the Clown. He's great on camera, but behind the scenes he smokes, he drinks, he says bad language, he does all the things you really shouldn't do.
Right.
And this is that dark edge that Danny DeVito brings into it. Mobsters get involved, and Robin Williams is kicked off the air for bribery. At which point he tries to bring the downfall of Smoochie.
And he's really evil in this. Isn't Robin Williams a very evil character?
He's the character he's probably
ever
been.
Which is wonderful, because he's never played an evil character.
And Norton is the exact opposite of normally America, the American History X movie.
Yeah, he can be a heavy guy.
He is a pacifist,
right,
who thinks children are born of you know, this nice little way of doing things, and they can do no wrong, and, you know, that's...
Would you boys share with the rest of the class?
Please do.
Probably we're just concurring that, to make sure Charlie just did say, he says bad language. I don't know. Never mind. We're just busting your balls.
That's all right.
So anyway.
Doctor me coming in here and having that happen.
So I got the plot.
It's a gooder movie than...
I got the plot. Tell me if it's any good.
You know, yeah, I did enjoy it. I think it's the kind of movie that if you see with a group,
there's going to be a lot more enjoyment than just sitting there by yourself where the humor may be very dark. Again, like War of the Roses, I liked War of the Roses after I saw it several times. I didn't necessarily like it as much the first time.
Well, I don't like that movie.
How many dolls?
2.5.
Okay. Well, once again, Mike, you know, your personal feelings.
I'm so sorry.
Lead over
it. I apologize.
But 2.5 stars is a fence-riding position to take, Charlie. You know how I feel about that. Take a side. Take a stand.
Let's go then with two.
Any movie... Now, see, now I definitely disagree with you, because any movie about a smoking, swearing, corrupt clown has got to be great entertainment for the whole family.
Right, he's not a clown. He's not crusty.
Well, he's a TV. He's a TV entertainer. Right? For kids.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. All right.
All right, Buzz, so how many do you give this?
I give this 4 stars.
There you go.
All right, the next
you're
movie.
You're thinking it is Buzz Burbank.
Yeah, the next movie,
Charlie. Oh, this is the one I want to see.
Jodie Foster.
This one, to me, looks fantastic.
Now, here's all I want to say about this, and I will shut up. I don't care about the movie. You know, I think Jodie Foster, I wouldn't F her with your D. Oh, but I heard that she was pregnant during the movie, and that her boobs...
Yeah.
Are gigantic.
Really?
In a little tank top, and she gets very sweaty running around.
And it looks scary as hell.
It's not that it's scary like Seven, another movie that he has done. It's more tension-filled like The Game, again, going to a David Fincher movie.
Yes, did she say bad language?
Not really. I mean, it's more for violence sake. It's not like she looks at someone and says, do me, or F me. Not like that. She uses gooder language than I'm sure I'm going to use today. This is a movie about a woman who separates from her husband and gets this gorgeous New York brownstone. Finds this little room in it called a panic room, 12 by 12, where if somebody's in the house, you can go in there and be safe. Well, robbers come into the house. She goes in with her daughter, and now the robbers are going to do anything they can to get into this room to get something that's in the room that they want. It's very...
You got to wind it up. We're getting TV plot summary here.
Very violent. Very well done.
How many dolls?
Three.
Buzz.
Three strong ones.
I disagree. There's enough violence in the world, and you're just promoting it by endorsing this movie.
All right, and Charlie, we really got to plot. What's the last
movie? Best movie of the week. The Rookie. Dennis Quaid. Best movie of the week.
I've seen the trailer. I agree with you. I think it's great.
Year.
It's fantastic.
Based on the true story of this guy who was a teacher, tried out for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, made the team, pitched 2 seasons for
him. I love baseball movies.
It's feel good. It's lump in throat. It's all that hokey crap.
I'm going to see that one. That's great. It's
made by Disney and rated G.
4 stars.
Well, is the National G also?
No, the National was PG.
It was PG?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
One of the best movies I've seen this year is The Rookie.
All right. How many dolls?
Four dolls. Great movie.
Buzz.
Charlie, you ignorant slut. Dennis Quaid's career, as much as we liked him when he was hot, is not. It's over. Give it up. Let it go.
How many dolls there are?
One.
One doll.
Good job, Buzz. I give applause to Mr. Buzz Burbank today.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you, Charlie.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. There's the movie segment with Charlie and with the very opinionated Buzz Burbank. And there are the touchstones. Call now. Be the 100th caller. And with some stuff, good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
He's great on camera, but behind the scenes he smokes, he drinks, he says bad language.
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
Providing a daily 4-hour radio stink face. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here is a Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Finally, next to a Brinks truck, this may be a thief's second choice. In Slidell, Louisiana, the driver of a Krispy Kreme donut truck left his door open and the engine running while he made a delivery. Two people then jumped into the truck and drove away, spilling boxes of donuts out the back.
Drive faster.
Police chased the donuts, the truck, for 15 miles along an interstate before
get out of here, man.
The new driver pulled over and ran into the woods. But police caught his cohort, who told them that he and his friend had stopped thinking clearly after having smoked some crack.
Come on, Rob.
Get to know Charlie. Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Yeah. Oh, no! Have a
great Easter weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Happy birthday to my boy. He'll be 17 on Sunday. Let me see. This Saturday, get a double dose of the woman I've rated number 48.
Yes.
Lisa Herndon.
Wow.
Singular is the place for all the hot action.
46.
Number 46. I'm sorry. Singular is the place for all the hot Lisa action. 11 till 1. Herndon 5 Shopping Center and 2 to 4 at Sully Plaza in Chantilly. Let her see your face in the place.
Famous.
I think we got to go. Thanks to Lee Ermini for calling in. Monday, the April Fool's Show. Who knows? Maybe Monday it'll be the all-caller show. I'm not really quite sure what we're going to do yet on Monday.
That would be a ship of fools.
But something will happen. Have a great weekend either way. Thank you for your companionship. Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing? I'm the 100th caller.
Yes, you are, my
friend.
Thank
you for your companionship.
DOT, baby.
DOT, what's your name?
Mark from College Park.
Here you go. We get to see Poison with Cinderella, Wigger, and Faster Pussycat. Nissan Pavilion, July 12th. Get your tickets now online at Ticketmaster.com or www.nissanpavilion.com. Enjoy, my friend.
Wow.
Have a great weekend. Yeah.
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Wow. That's it. Gotta go. We'll be back on Monday.
Okay.
All right. A good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. A good day to you, sir.
Thank you for your companionship, Don.
And Rob?
He says bad language.
Can you? No, and I know you can't forget it. You can't forget it. Throw your hat in the air, please.
You might just make it after all.
It's like Sidney Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Toodle-oo.
Ask.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.